written in stars, spoke through the winds of war, sealed by fate and marked with blood, doused with heat.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in, but the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
I've been to the Super Bowl, I've been to the World Series, I've even been to the Rolling Stones, but there is one event that surpasses them all.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. Check this out!
Not be talking. This is not a Farmville show.
Carlos. Welcome to the fail boat with Captain Fail.
Sail.
Sometimes he feels like it, sometimes he doesn't.
And Nikki.
These guys are so cute.
LimitBreakRadio.com.
And here we go.
Welcome to Limit Break Radio. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Nero, excited to have nearly everyone back together again.
And I'm Kahlo, toot-tooting Tamtu's horn.
And I'm Vicky, a little scared to have Kahlo back, actually.
Kahlo, welcome back to the show. We missed you last time.
Lies. You guys were celebrating. I know how it goes.
Yeah.
We had a very smooth episode without you.
It was super smooth, dude.
I'm pretty sure that I make episodes smooth. I could point out a few, but I don't want to hurt some feelings, okay?
Dude, honestly, we flew through that content, and it was very organized. And
what juxta here?
No.
See, so it could have been juxta, because we've had smooth shows without him before while I've been here, so I don't think you guys have sufficient data to make that kind of call or hypothesis.
You guys had a show?
Yeah, we had a show.
We did.
Yeah, where were you?
I was with Kahlo.
Yeah.
You weren't with me.
Well, you didn't see me.
Apparently, the thief is a little too high himself.
Sail, why didn't you jump in on the intro, man?
Because Kahlo kind of took over again.
I did not take
I'm
over.
Used to it.
Wasn't me.
Sail, get your intro in.
Fine. This is Sail, and I'm glad to see that par for the course is being filled again.
Sail, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we've heard from you, too, man. How are you doing?
Busy. Busy.
I think that definitely counts for all of us, for sure.
I know. I've been so busy, I finally beat Mass Effect.
The original one or the
yes,
second one?
Yes, the original one. Oh. I moved on to the second one.
Oh, good.
So maybe, you know, when Mass Effect 3 comes out in a couple years, I'll beat the second one.
Grats.
No spoilers, guys.
Well, joining us today, we're going to be talking about Wings of the Goddess Notorious Monsters. Not all of them now, because some of the newer ones, including VNMs, and there are some other ones, including Allied Note Notorious Monsters, that we're not going to be talking about today.
VNMs? Very Notorious Monsters?
No.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
That was a good one.
That hurt.
I don't know.
Come on, get on your game, Juxta.
What is this? Benissimo Notorious Monsters.
What?
It doesn't even
I think
sense.
Those two have been hanging out too much.
Or Juxta's just been falling.
Come on, man. I can't do this alone. We have to double team this, okay?
Voluptuous.
Notorious
Monsters.
Told you.
I ate
venison.
Wait, venison?
Venison? Really?
I ate venison.
Vicky's Notorious Monsters.
There you right. go.
We had venison stroganoff once.
It was pretty good. It was awful.
It was good.
It was awful.
Ellison is also joining us in the studio today. Ellison, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Glad to have you. We've got a full...
Ask her what she's been up to.
Ellison, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot
cooking
of anything.
Cooking us dinner.
Yeah, that's true.
Cooking us venison.
That's true.
I think I've got some venison in the freezer if you want it.
No. No, thank you.
Well, joining us today, we've got two guests. We've got Mizuharu, and we've also got Ventus. So welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you both here. And the NMs that we are going to be talking about today are they're called one of two things. They're either called sealed container because of what they drop, or stronghold notorious monster. They drop sealed containers. But they're also known as stronghold notorious monsters because they all spawn in the Beastman strongholds in the past. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the Fomor kings, the new Fomor.
How are they new former kings?
Thank you one for that. Come on. Yeah.
God, you're awful. This is why we were able to get through a show in at least some semi good order.
Well, no, yeah. Apparently shows go smooth without me, so I might as well try and interrupt them and make it as bumpy as I can. I will prove your hypothesis right.
Thanks, Juxta.
No, Kala.
Well, that was my joke right now.
I know, I stole it.
Congratulations, you earned my ire.
We're also going to talk about the Sandworm and the Ixion fights. So that's what is going to be on the show today. So we got a lot to talk about, and no time to go through personal updates, unfortunately. So not that I don't really have that much to talk about anyway. So.
I beat Master Fact.
That's okay, because Kalo can no longer make fun of me about my end feet.
That's true. You missed that. Vicky got her end feet.
I did.
And now you know why I wasn't here.
Uh-huh.
Why are you eating?
I'm hungry.
But we're supposed to be talking.
I had no idea what you just said.
I know. It's because I was imitating you with your mouth.
But you could actually hear what I was saying.
Yeah, except it sounded like... Yeah, it's gross.
Well, so is your beard, but I'm not complaining.
Are you eating venison?
No, I'm not. I'm eating one of the Angus burgers from McDonald's. It is yum.
Is it like venison?
It's meat.
Why are we giving fast food more free advertising?
Yeah, right? Right. Yeah, fast food.
Just bleep them out, and they'll think that has its own fast
food
chain. They'll be like, "What sells burgers?" Usually I get the mushroom and Swiss, but when I went the other day, they gave me.
Okay, all right.
Stop it.
We've got Wings of the Goddess NMs to talk about here.
He wants to know.
It doesn't matter.
He can ask after the show's
I got
over.
The 13.
Yeah, that's right. Starbreakers can ask after the fact.
Yes.
So real quick, before we get into the Wings of the Goddess NMs, I said last time on the show that if we got 100 new fans on Facebook, that I would add a couple of listener slots to the live stream for non-Starbreakers. Well, you guys failed because you only got 60.
Fail.
So I'm only opening like one or two extra slots. So
welcome to the fail boat. With Captain Fail.
So, if you guys want to make it up to me, because I got to tell you, I'm real disappointed. Aww. Come on, guys. Aww. There you go.
Aww.
I'm real disappointed in all of you, so I want to get at least to the 400 fan mark. We're at like 350 some odd. I want to get to the 400 fan mark by the next episode. So come on, guys.
Friends.
Yeah, come on.
You guys did the 50. You can do the 50 more.
Yeah, seriously.
Extra credit time.
Come on, go make some Phantom accounts.
No, don't do that.
I don't care. It's
that's
numbers. That's all I really care about.
I need Farmville friends.
It's true, he does. He doesn't have any friends.
Ellison made her farm look like Mario.
It's amazing.
Like 8-bit Mario.
Yay!
On Farmville?
Yeah. I use little hay bales.
We should not be talking. Mario. This is not a Farmville show. God damn it.
Limit Break Farmville.
So the new co-op, you have to get rice Farmville. And bell peppers.
God, shut up.
Oh my
It's really hard to do with like all the bugs that are running around, so if you don't have the spells to neutralize them, you have to kite them with your cows.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, you know, we're not going to do personal updates, but we would like to hear from our guests what they've been doing recently. So,
on Farmville.
Well, no, not on Farmville. Mizu, why don't we start with you? Mizu, what have you been doing recently?
Well, nothing really big. Just, what did I do?
Just, you know, it helps with personal updates if you have a secretary who's taking down all your stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Jux is my secretary.
Lol.
Really, I've just been trying to work on my blue mage on 11.
Right on. What level is it at?
70.
Nice! Ooh. Nice!
Almost there.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to sneak to events as Puppet Master.
How's that working out for you?
Better than his, I went to a few monk. Dynamics as it. That's pretty much it.
That was a good one.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. I don't know if Mizu, I don't know if you heard Juxta's comment, but that was fairly excellent.
I hate you. You're not getting dinner for a month.
But is that about it, Mizu? Like just
chilling.
Hanging out as Puppet Master, I guess?
Well, nothing big in other video games or anything else in real life, so yeah, pretty much.
Right on. Ventus, how about you? What have you been doing recently?
Just have one thing to say. Whoever came up with the weather trial thing, I hate them.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
Crawlers, freaking crawlers and crawler nest. It's like the last 2 minutes, something like that, so by the time I kill one, the weather is off already. I'm like, oh, god damn it. But, yeah.
It wouldn't be so bad if you could use scholar spells.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm stuck with ranger, so I have to go ranger or dancer. Mm. So I cannot kill that fast.
Right on.
Mm, yeah. So I went with a friend to what is called Mount Solon, whatever it's called, and to kill some Arukas, you know, because the weather over there is pretty often. They don't count. I'm like, oh, man.
Why what me? Mom do you need to kill?
Crawlers on whatever weather.
Oh, that's got to be brutal, man. Seriously. Yeah. No, the weather trial of the Magians is definitely something to dread. But again, I really lucked out on my trial greatsword because I didn't have any of the elementals. Are those only, are the elemental, like when you have to kill a certain mob in a certain elemental, is that only for the elemental line of quests? Like, is that the only one that those apply to?
Yeah,
okay. Then that kind of makes sense.
It sucks. Yesterday I got till 11 left.
See, you have more patience than me. I gave up on the paladin sword after like the first hour because the weather kept changing every 2 minutes.
Oh gosh, that's just got to be that's got to be horrible. Ugh.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I couldn't do it. All right, well, we've got plenty of content to get through here, but real quick before we get into that, there are a couple of other things that I want to talk about. Now. I don't want to say this, and it kind of breaks my heart a little bit to say this, but this is probably one of the very last Limit Break Radio episodes that will ever be like this, where we'll all be together. I mean, I said last time on the show that this is a really big kind of transitional time. I mean, we've been going at this for 4 years now.
That's a long time.
That is a very long time. Most podcasts definitely don't make it that long. And we do plan on sticking around, but you know, each of us, all of us are going to be going through huge changes each in our own personal lives, and that's definitely going to affect our ability to make episodes, to be there for recordings and whatnot. As much as we do want to be here, you know, conceivably there could be episodes in the future that happen without me. You know, so that's kind of what's going on at this point. It's definitely, it's a really weird feeling to almost be out of here and to be moving on and looking for real employment and full-time employment. But I mean, you know, if you guys, each of the hosts, if you guys want to share, you know, what the next step for you is, I encourage you to go ahead and do that right here. But I know I plan on sticking around, and I mean, of course, with moving, you know, most of the gear used to do this show is mine. So that's going to definitely have an effect on production for a little while, but, you know, I have a strong commitment to Limit Break Radio, and I definitely want to be making episodes long into level 99 territory and way beyond. So I mean, let's just kind of take a second, go around the room. Kahlo, what's going to be next for you, dude?
Deep cover, top secret stuff.
Yeah,
over the ops. Yep. After a week,
he's going.
As far as you know, Kahlo will be no more.
Just gonna disappear.
Yeah. You know what? No, worse than gamer.
Is that possible?
It's gonna make the gamer thing just look like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
No, but seriously, what's gonna happen here?
Well, I'm moving back home to save a bit of money. For the past 6 months, I've just been, you know, I've been working at the Walgreens, the big green, you know, and that was all right. But, you know, finally need to get things in gear and find a way over to California so I can actually start, you know, looking into pursuing acting. I got a bunch of writing projects I'm also trying to look into. So I think that's my next big thing, is actually try and get some type of actual book, script, what have you, actually done, and start looking for publication and whatnot.
And that takes a lot of time, a lot of concentration. Good luck, man. Yeah, dude. Seriously. That's both lofty and I think for both for you, yeah, totally achievable.
I tried to start a blog a while ago, you know, and keep it updated every day, but I think, you know, after this, once I get moved back home and I have a lot more free time on my hands, I'm actually going to dedicate myself to starting like a professional, like, little blog type thing to, like, get things up there and whatnot.
Don't forget us when you're famous.
Forget who? What?
Aw.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's really cool, dude. And we wish you the best. And it, you know, if you can make shows, we'll try to bring you in over Skype and whatnot. But you know, hey man, this is for all of us. This is you know, and it all kind of comes around the same time, which I think is appropriate. You know, because I mean, you know, I don't, it's weird to do the show without you, dude. I mean, I gotta say that, like, the show we did last time, the last episode, was very weird to do without you.
Humorless.
I wouldn't say it was humorless, but
oh yeah, you would ring the laugh at.
No, but that was the very first episode that we've ever done without you. I mean, you've been here since episode one, way even before that. You were the first person that I showed that intro to, that I got all excited, you know, about this for. So you know, it's definitely we're gonna miss you around here, definitely, but you're always welcome to come back. I mean, hell, Argent comes back every once in a while, so.
I know, right?
So are you gonna check out 14 when it hits?
No, probably not. I don't know if I'll have time for it, especially if it, I mean, I know that, you know, they're gearing it towards a lot more casual content, but I mean, we'll see. It could also be a money issue,
yeah,
too. I mean, I remember, you know, watching Michael J. Fox once on a talk show, and he said, you know, before he got famous, you know, he could recall days where he was sitting in his apartment, and, you know, his dinner was mixing milk with bread. So if I'm eating milky bread, I don't think I'm going to have enough to play Final Fantasy 14. But you never know, you know, you never know.
That's
to
true.
To be fair, milky bread's pretty good.
Ellison hasn't cooked that for us yet, and I hope she doesn't.
Don't worry, I won't.
Okay, good.
Well, bread by itself is good, and I like milk, so.
That's by the way,
bread is gross.
Okay.
If you do ever get famous, I expect dinner for a month.
That's right. You're flying us all out to California because I flew
and
you out to California.
Domino. Hey.
And the Starbreakers flew us both out to California. Sale, what about you, man? What's gonna be next with you?
I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. Like, you already know what my big, big plans are. I want to get out of where I am right now. I'm out of character. I'm living with my grandma right now, trying to save as much money as I can. Economy is not that great right here. I only have one part-time job, which makes saving really, really slow.
We're in Michigan, folks. Just so you know.
It's like the worst economy in the nation.
Yeah.
It is the worst.
Don't come here.
Detroit is pretty much a third world country at this point.
Flint, too. Flint is
Yeah, bad. Flint's real yeah, bad. Somebody's starting fires around Flint. That's how bad it is.
Flint does start fires.
That's true. That's true.
Clever.
Way to listen to your guys. But what I really want to do is that I want to someday write storyline and dialogue for video games. So I'm trying to get together as many ideas that I can, some of my own ideas, some working off of already existing game series, seeing what I can do with them so that when I am able to go over to Seattle or California or wherever, I will have at least a portfolio of sorts to be like, and this is what I can do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, cool, man. again, lofty aspirations, and I'm sure that those are completely achievable for you. Like I said, this is going to be one of the last shows of this type, and by that I don't necessarily mean who's involved. What I mean is mostly everyone's going to be over Skype after this point, I think. So that's another big change that's going to be coming too. So.
Well, it's a lot easier to keep Juxta out that way too.
That's true. That is true.
That's what you think. Me and Skype people, we're like this. I'm in all your Skypes. Watching your podcasts.
No, but dude, like, I really think that's awesome, and of course we wish you nothing but the best, and I'm sure that we'll see you from time to time as well. So,
oh yeah, just as long as work is somewhat kind.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Vicky, what about you? What's your next big step here?
Well, I'm actually still gonna be around for about another year or so, but I'm pursuing teaching.
Loser.
I'm pursuing elementary teaching, so after about a year, I'm going to be student teaching, hopefully not in Michigan. So, we'll see where that takes me. Hopefully, my boyfriend is trying to get into graduate school somewhere, so wherever he ends up is probably where I'm going to end up, which is not Michigan.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll be around for another year or so, and then who knows where I'll be.
Gotcha. And, me, I'm trying to find full-time work. The job that I've been working at public radio has been part-time, and I've been supplementing that with a lot of student loans. And of course, when I graduate 6 months after that, they're going to be knocking on my door asking for them student loans back. So I gotta figure out something. I got a job interview tomorrow, so wish me luck.
I think you should go against the grain and get into AM radio.
AM radio. That's funny.
I could totally see you doing like a metal AM radio.
See, here's the thing. If I was gonna break into AM radio, I'd have to buy my own station. So
student loans.
They are kind of cheap now, actually. But anyway, I'm definitely going to be trying to keep up my radio skills in the radio profession. And of course, I'm still hanging out doing Aetherite Radio, hopefully still doing Limit Break Radio, and finding time for all of it, hopefully, somewhere. So that's pretty much what's going on with each one of our personal lives. How exactly it's going to impact Limit Break Radio right now, I have no idea.
I have a question for Juxta.
What?
Now that you're not just going to be able to run back to us now. You're actually going to have to go out there and find something for yourself. Do you have any plans?
I'm going to keep sponging off you guys.
That's going to start getting harder and harder. I would come up with a backup plan if I were you.
I'll think of something.
He's a tar, someone will think he's cute and let him in somewhere. Be careful.
He'll dance.
Be careful.
Chuck's like, there was one time where I convinced the family that I was their puppy for 5 weeks before they were, before the jig was up.
I'm sure I'll find him in my closet one day or something.
That was a plot to a Ren and Stimpy episode once. All right. We've got a ton of content here to cover with Wings of the Goddess NMs, but just one more thing before we get into that. I know I've said that like 5 times already. Kahlo, I want to get your reaction to the level 99 announcement. What do you think?
Oh.
Because you weren't here last episode.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot about it. There's been a lot of things that I've heard that I wasn't too thrilled about hearing. But then again, you know, I just got into 13, and I tried so hard to hate 13.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that I heard about, I'm like, this is going to be horrible, it's going to be crap, I hate it already, I don't want to play it, and I love
it. Yeah, so. You love it, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, only time will tell, you know, but like I said, a lot of things that I've been hearing, like, I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing from people that I'm not really up to date on is the whole VNM weapons. Like, you know, you have 2 paths to go, you can either do it yourself, like solo just killing things, or you can, you know, take down the big ones to, like, evolve the weapons. And, you know, the ones from the VNMs where you evolve the weapons are, like, a whole crap load better than doing it yourself.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, looking at how much work you put into it, more work goes into doing it by yourself. And, you know, it's not even half as good as the other one. So that seems kind of like, you know, they should have at least been the same.
I think Ring's point was really good on the last episode. To that, he said, you know, these weapons are like, you know, like a poor man's relic. Like, mm-hmm. they're that good, you
right.
know, especially with, like, occasionally attacks twice on that. And then, mm-hmm. and that proc rate has been confirmed at around 49%. So, you know, that, I think the reward really does match like what you have to do to get through it. And I mean, honestly, the VNMs are really not that difficult.
That's the thing. They're not that difficult. Like, for example, Fusion apparently got 2 of his items within like a week. And, you know, there's still people out there like, you know, I have to go and kill, you know, 700 of those lizard things out in Grauberg. It's like, really, which one is going to be a lot more difficult, you know?
Right, yeah.
And the difference is like 40 base attack. That's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. So, but
I mean, level 99, I don't know. I'd like to see how they're going to balance some stuff and how they're going to keep armor from, you know, being obsolete or whatnot. But mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll figure out a way.
Yeah. Right on. Cool. Juxta, what about you? Level 99, what do you think?
I think it's going to be either really amazing for any mages or really terrible. It's not odd. Why do you even bother telling me that? Is it on?
It is actually on. Yeah, it's been on the whole time. Way to go.
Oh, I can't hear myself. It's either going to be really, really great for red mages and scholars or really terrible by them like switching out where the abilities end up. So it's either going to be awesome or it's going to be not.
Think about the new abilities that you're going to get between 75 and 99.
Refresh to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
If it's not AoE refresh, then it's just going to be horrible because it's going to end up what I'm doing right now, but for refresh too.
Look, we have to get into the episode now because we have killed way too much time.
It's only par for the course.
Yeah, no kidding. It is pretty par for the course for us.
If this is going to be one of our last episodes together, we have to do it right. Therefore, this is going to take 7 hours to record.
We'll be done.
Classic LBR.
Oh, God.
3-parter LBR right now.
Another episode.
Yeah, there
and
we go.
And then we'll have a small 4th part that's the actual episode.
And we'll name the episode Limit Break Radio, the one that's like Lord of the Rings Special Edition. Extended.
Just kidding.
Oh,
Special Edition plus one.
I call Frodo. Juxta gets to be Gollum.
Can I be the princess?
There isn't a princess.
Yeah,
what a noob.
What are you talking about?
Don't even... Can we mute her? That's just wrong. Come on.
Okay, I've seen Lord of the Rings like 10 years ago.
You get to be Pippin now. Good job.
I like Pippin. I want to be a princess.
You can
I'm
going to
be a princess.
Here, you're together now.
I'm a princess.
But you're just thinking... Oh,
what? So, what is in these sealed containers anyhow? That's what I would like to know.
Thank you, Kahlo.
He's awesome.
Oh, geez. All right. So,
there's a queen, right?
So we're going to talk about the majority of Wings of the Goddess NMs. Fair bit of them. Most of the endgame content that's come out for Wings of the Goddess. We're going to start with the Sealed Container or the Stronghold Notorious Monsters. Mizu, do you want to give us a breakdown of just basically how the SCNM system works here?
Basically, all you do is you run in, you locate 8 different NMs, like 5 of them are beastmen matching the type, and then 3 are like the Northland beastmen, the demons and crap.
Yeah.
Then, basically you just beat them down and, you get key items that you can trade to any nation, and it'll increase the status of that nation while decreasing the stronghold. But the main purpose is you get key items that'll allow you to enter a final burning circle where you can get extra gear and sellable items.
And lose lots of experience.
Yeah, that too. That too.
The biggest draw, IMO.
Not if you know what you're doing.
Not a lot of experience if you die, like, freaking Drake Trigger.
Fucking Quetta.
So there's the Sealed Container Notorious Monsters take place in all 3 of the Beastmen strongholds, not including the Northland zones,
because that would be 4.
That would be 4. I have to wonder if they're going to end up extending this for the for Castellaz Troja at some point, but who knows? Castles of All Baileys. Excuse me. Why don't we start off at Castellaz Troja? A malicious manifest is the subheading. Like Mizu was saying, there are 8 NMs that you're going to be going around and looking for. And now these NMs are not terribly difficult NMs.
Most of them just have some type of like little thing that they do, and that's really all you really have to get around is their little niche.
Yeah, exactly. And now Kahlo and I both have experience doing Sealed Container Notorious Monsters from
our time. I soloed them with a link shell.
You soloed them with a link shell. Good job. But that was from our time, together in Versus that we were running those. What are you doing?
He took off his link shell and he's beating it.
That's how he soloed it.
Apparently the link shell is like a little marble you put into your ear.
Isn't it? That's what the...
I think it's like a pearl. You attach. It's like an earring. You attach it onto your...
That's like what the little guy in the past gives you when you're a reporter or something. He's like, here's a link shell.
Oh, for the map?
Yeah! I know what I'm talking about. What else is
so there? Yeah, we got some experience with them.
Yeah, we had some fun doing those, of course.
And he died a lot.
Yeah, I did a lot.
Teabagged him. I got pictures.
So starting off at Castellaz Troja, we will let's talk about D. Zelko the Esoteric. Ventus, why don't you tell us about D. Zelko?
D. Zelko the Esoteric, or whatever. It spawns at around age 9 on the 4th map. It seems he's wind elemental strong because he does all the magic spell from air. As long when the HP is going and start going down, he starts using higher tier wind spells. Plus the bio 3, sleep 2, and stun. But the thing is about this is the faster you kill it or the lower the life it gets, it starts to instant cast, so it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, insta cast Tornado 2.
Keep your shadows up, nubs.
Eat that in the face. But it also uses mana font around 50%. And it also will melee, but it doesn't have any weapon skill moves, so... that's pretty much it. You're basically going to be, looking at faster cast times the lower it HP it is. So I don't know. It seems fairly straightforward. I don't think we even really need to go into jobs for what to bring. Just because, you know, when you do an event like this, it's going to be you and probably like your link shell or like eight other people. And
so if you're smart and resourceful, you have your paladin ninja, you have your healers, and then your seven samurai.
With an Aegis.
Yeah.
And then that one guy who comes pop.
Oh, it's gonna break.
Oh, jeez.
Or you can be a real, real, for lack of a better word, asshat for this one, and just bring a whole bunch of head-butting blue mages, because this one's susceptible to stun.
Yeah, there is that. Being susceptible to stun is good for those, you know, high-tier magic that he's going to be casting. The drops that that you're going to be looking at from D. Zelko are, of course, the bamboo grass basket. That is the sealed container that you need to turn in. But there's also the grandeur, which is a club, damage 34, delay 310, attack plus 5, magical attack bonus plus 5, and apparently the set increases evasion and HP recovering while healing, and it also reduces enmity, and I'm pretty sure that that's under the set heading, so the set reduces enmity.
And you're going to be seeing a lot of these with a lot of the weapons that drop from these is where it says set. Now, to complete the set, all you need is, depending on where you're at, like if you're in Oztroja, there's an earring that drops off of the final battle where you turn in all the steel containers, and that's what completes the set for all of these weapons, and it'll be the same in the other three areas.
And this is equipable at level 69 by Black Mage, Red Mage, Summoner, and Blue Mage. So, and that one is activated by the Brilliant Earring, which I'm sure that we will see a little bit later on. The third drop that you're going to be looking at is the Grenadier Belt, which is waist equipped with defense 4, attack plus 3, strength plus 3, dex plus 3, agility plus 3, and under campaign, strength plus 8, dex plus 8, and agility plus 8, which is a great campaign.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And equipable at level 69 by Warrior, Red Mage, Thief, Paladin, Dark Knight, Beastmaster, Bard, Ranger, Samurai, Ninja, Dragoon, Blue Mage, Corsair, and Dancer.
Haha, pop.
And not Monk.
And not Monk. Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Is a Red Mage.
They have Black Belt.
Oh, jeez. So that's pretty much it for D. Zelko the Esoteric. Like I said, we're going to be tearing through these
mobs.
Yeah, these small mobs pretty quick.
What's Esoteric mean?
Old.
Does it?
Yeah.
Magical. Like
old. Yeah.
Is it?
The next one we're going to be looking at is Marquis or Marquis, if you're playing Final Fantasy XII, Fornius.
The Fornicator.
No, not...
He's a demon.
Not the Fornicator.
He's in Little Japanese Girls. He's a demon, it's true, that's what they do.
Demons do have genitals. You can clearly see it in their armor.
But he doesn't have tentacles.
Okay. Oh, they're in there. I was waiting for someone to see the setup there. That's how we work.
All right. So, Mizu, why don't you go ahead and talk about Marquis Fornius?
God. Okay. Well, it's a Dark Knight mob, and it's just going to be. It can also cast a spell. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't. You just got to dispel Dread Spikes.
Yeah,
but it's resistant to magic damage, so it's advised to use melee against this. It's also immune to paralyze, silence, bind, and gravity, which all the Swords Great NMs are immune to.
Mm-hmm.
One annoying factor about it is its high accuracy. You're pretty much going to get hit, so Paladin Ninja for that.
Which is odd because it's a Dark Knight.
Yeah,
I was so expecting that.
But, and also another thing is, each successful melee attack that lands will take one status effect from you.
Ooh.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
and
so,
drain.
So, well, so
or
buff.
Absorb. No, because he takes it. Does it just dispel it, or does he give it to himself?
He gets takes smacked it. And you lose Sinental. That would suck.
But he doesn't get it, right?
Does he get?
He'll get it. He'll take it.
Oh, he will. Oh, so it is an absorb. Wow. I want that spell.
So there's your level 99 spell. And absorb.
Is it possible to just zerg that down then to kill it as fast as possible?
Yeah. What's kind of the best method for this?
Most likely, you're just going to probably go with a stun order if you have some black mages there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not, pretty much just get slow Elgi on it and zerg it down. Have the paladin try to keep pay as best he can.
Don't put buffs up either. That would be probably a good thing to think about ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'll put buffs up.
Of course you would. So taking a look at the drops, of course, the bamboo medicine basket, which is the sealed container.
You've also, if they're sealed, how do we know what's in them?
Well, we don't.
But medicine.
That's why you seal.
Yeah.
There's medicine in it.
Well, but apparently it's something that's important to the Beastmen and important to us because it raises our nation and takes them down a notch.
What kind of medicine is it?
Ibuprofen.
Penicillin. There's some.
Not our aspirin.
Isn't that like venison? I keep thinking that penicillin comes from venison. I don't think that's true at all.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it is. So if you ever need penicillin like at the hospital, make sure you bring in venison because they have to extract it. Otherwise, you're going to die, Jux.
Is it like the fatty part?
Oh,
yeah.
You guys are killing me.
All right, so the drops. Wow, guys, that's nice. The drops here, the fachous? Fachous?
Fachous.
It's like a joyous
That is a scythe with damage 87, delay 480. That's a very low delay scythe there. Physical damage taken, minus 5%, and the set increases evasion and HP recovering while healing, while reduces enmity. And that's also activated by the brilliant earring. The other drop that comes from Marquis Fornius here is the shark strap, which is of course a strap piece. HP plus 10 and enmity plus 3.
Good for paladin.
Yeah.
Paladin using staff.
Good for
iron staff.
Yeah, because I don't think they.
Not very many situations anymore.
True. So that takes care of Marquis Fornius. Kahlo, you want to take this next one here?
I sure can. This next one is going to be Lu Kutu, the Pensive. Instead of the Yagudo Samurai. Uses dark
invocation.
Invocation. I don't know what that does, because you have to click on it to find out for me.
If someone seems like a Yagudo.
Yeah, okay, so.
Damage and possible death doom.
Ooh.
Look at all those question marks there. Wiki's not sure what it does. Like, it could do this stuff. It's not good, though. Hate seems to be reset after each sweep or feathered furor, so, you know, your tanks need to be on their game. As a samurai mob, he has very high store TP. Because he's a samurai.
Right, yeah, of course.
So, it says suggest pulling Lu Kutu to the middle of the walkway for the camp so mages can set up on the tiny bridge leading to the middle pedestal. It's also strongly recommended to have two tanks and a couple healers. All melee DD should be Nin to avoid stun damage from sweep. So, of course, there's going to be that one warrior who always comes and, you know, refuses. No, not warrior.
Monk?
Yeah, that one monk who shows up.
The pup?
Everyone looked at Ellison. Who refuses to sub ninja and is on warrior and soaks up all the damage and dies anyway and then wipes everybody.
I sub ninja
so
sometimes.
Just have them come pop and then not
or
heal them.
Or you could have the epic dragoon that comes subbing samurai but knows how to super jump.
There you go. That'll work too.
Like me.
Wow, it's the first time that I've heard epic and dragoon in the same sentence and it didn't like.
Sound it wasn't really ironic.
Yeah, exactly.
Dragoon is very epic.
So yeah, this thing drops the bamboo bug cage, so these bugs are very important to the Beastmen.
Apparently.
Yeah.
What kind of bugs are
there? Where is it, the bamboo?
The big ones. And then the first thing that it drops is going to be its little weapon here, which is a great katana, and I could have said the name, most of you probably would have known it was a great katana, because great katanas are always named horribly. That's the one, and it has damage 74, delay 420, subtle blow plus 2, and if you have the brilliant earring, you get the set bonus, which increases evasion, HP recovered while healing, and reduces your enmity, and samurais and ninjas of level 69 can equip that.
Yay!
Seems like all the the same Irwin gave the same
It's all the brilliant earring.
Yep. And then you can also get a skirmisher's ring, which gives you HP plus 1%. Unless you're in campaign, then it's 4%, and that is a level 69 for all jobs.
Right on. So that takes care of that, and we're on now to the next one. I want to cover this one because I really like its name. Fleshnasher.
Ganasher.
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 This is a thief type gnat that spawns on the upper level of map 6 at J8 behind the brass doors. It is guarded by two imps. It uses perfect dodge, and when using perfect dodge, it also gains the effect of 100 fist. All normal gnat moves, including pandemic nip. So really, the only thing that you got to look out for is perfect dodge, and I mean, you know, when it uses that, that'd probably be a good time to either, you know, stun it, shadow bind it, you know, just wait for the 2 hours.
Just not use your weapon skills. I knew a Dark Knight once in Nizul. Whenever we fought Hydra, would use his weapon skills, but when we fought Cerberus, wouldn't.
Lol.
It's really weird. He had it totally backwards.
Yeah, I know. I think I know that guy, too.
Yeah, he's a noob.
Flesh Ganasher drops the bamboo flower basket.
I think it's Nasher, actually, the G is silent.
But it also drops the Basilisk, which is a gun.
Basilisk.
Whatever. It's a gun, damage 39, delay 582, ranged attack plus 8, and the set, like everything else, increases evasion and HP recovered while healing, while reducing enmity, activated by the Brilliant Earring. And the other drop is the Colloyer Cape, and that is defense 6. MP plus 10, magic attack bonus plus 1. Under campaign, magic attack bonus plus 6. And that's level 69 for white mage, black mage, red mage, bard, summoner, blue mage, pup, and scholar.
Why pup? A whole bunch of mages and then pup.
Because pups have
because puppet scholar
mage puppets.
Well, yeah.
But it doesn't say your puppet, it says you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it doesn't buff your puppet.
Pup.
So that way when you sub the black mage on pup, you can nuke.
Oh, okay.
Lol.
Which I hear in the next update that they're getting A plus skill in elemental magic.
Don't start those rumors. The pups might get a little too excited.
Yeah, yeah. They'll take anything after being screwed on the hand-to-hand adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next NM we're going to be looking at is V. Ledoux the Titterer.
Oh, I thought I said Twitter.
He likes to hang out with Fornius. They have similar interests.
You know what? You know what, Juxta? Why don't you take this one? Because why not? I want to hear you say titterer a bunch.
I thought I said litter. Okay, Mr. Titter guy. He's a ninja and he's a Yagudo. And he's in Casual Astrosia S, parentheses. He notes,
breaking
colon,
news.
Square, spawns in the room behind the brass door at H9 on map 1, period. Square, summons, copies, using Utsu Semi. Oh, why? You actually using
okay, who let him in here again?
No, he's totally not reading this straight off the wiki.
Hey, not at all. Initially spawns one copy, but as the fight progresses, summons 2, 3, and 4 copies. The spawn copies begin attacking the person the titterer is attacking. The titterer receives the effect of normal Utsutsume, but his clones do not. These copies of the titterer have low HP and can be killed with 1 or 2 Blazaga 2 or Thundaga 2s. The copies of the titterer behave irregularly and cannot be one-shotted by the titterer by any amount of damage the titterer would receive. One range attack took 75 damage from the titterer's HP, and another range attack doing 75 damage took 25% of the titterer's HP of the same clone. Always seems to be left with 1% titterer HP, no matter how much titterer damage has been dealt titterer, and then must be hit titterer again to hit a titterer. The titterer also uses Major Gakura at low titterer HP. Any clones that Titterer has are alive at the end of the time will also use Majin Gakur Titterer. Susceptible to blind and stun Titterer. Signaling Titterers to silence Titterer also has Alliance Titterer hate. Historical background.
I think it's
Oh, hey, look. Guys, you are tittering right now. Because to titter is to laugh half-suppressedly or to snicker.
Oh, guys.
This is ironic.
If only you guys could see us right now. So, like a pack of fools.
A Nero the Titterer. Hollow the Titterer. We're all Titterers.
That's our new NM names, guys. LBR the Titterers.
If we start a band, we'll be the Titterers.
And Nero and the Titterers.
More
are
than
like,
you guys have your whole lives.
By the way, the Titterer doesn't take things seriously, it says.
Okay, and Viladao the Titterer drops the bamboo bird cage. The Harpy Shield, which is obviously a shield. Defense 13, magic attack bonus plus 3, magic accuracy plus 3, and under campaign magic attack bonus plus 12. It's a pretty cool campaign piece.
For what? For whom?
The red mage.
I don't know.
Holy white mage.
And we've also got a katana, which is...
Called what?
I don't know.
Come on, go.
It's called...
Yagen Toshiro.
Yeah.
Yagen Toshiro.
That. Which is damage 34, delay 222, enhances ninjutsu damage, and the set increases invasion and HP recovery while healing, and also reduces enmity.
For those ninjas who refuse to tank.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure why you want to reduce enmity on your ninja, but whatever. All right, cool. also, why you would want to enhance your ninjutsu damage. I mean, it might be... I mean, it's at level 69. You couldn't even use it for something like that BCNM that people do for money.
It's for when you get the tier 3 ninjutsu.
Under observation.
That's 80. The one.
That are actually going to be good?
Sure.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Titter.
Maybe.
That's why I have to put titter in.
Come on.
Maybe TOL, titter out loud.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to start using TOL instead of LOL.
Same acronym for, like, the dinner. Wait, never mind.
JOL?
The Titterer of Love.
So, our next NM is Ma Ilumu?
Why is there three
No, it's an I and two L's.
The third.
No, it's an L.
Ilmu.
Ilmu. Yeah, it is
Ilmu.
Ilmu.
Ma Ilmu, the Bestower. Which is a... White Mage Mob. Actually, Ventus, why don't you take this one?
So, this Malthern Moon, the best tower, is a White Mage. It seems to spam Cure 5, so you guys are going to need a lot of heavy damage, so it doesn't perpetually go to 100.
But it doesn't matter, because he uses Benediction anyway. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, he does use Benediction. Yeah. That's not fun.
Yeah, but just once.
Yeah, that's true.
And it should be pretty weak.
Unless it takes you 2 hours.
Oh, the thing is, he sometimes uses a triple attack. So, go white mage for the party.
Really? Yeah, really its trick is that it's going to spam Cure 5.
Luckily, though, Silent sticks easily by a merited red mage, but it tends to apparently wear off very quickly, so make sure that it's constantly up.
Does it, do you know if it builds resistance to silence? Because if it builds resistance, that would not be fun.
The wiki doesn't say.
Yeah, the wiki doesn't say.
So we don't know, guys.
So, like, well, it doesn't say, it's clearly not true.
This is true. Yep. I don't think it builds resistance, but if it sticks easily and you have a couple stunners, then when it's not up, just make sure that the stunners are on their game.
Fair enough.
So the benediction.
Also, when it's silenced, it does TP. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Is its TP move bad?
Apparently, it may possibly reset or lower hate.
Okay.
And that's called Shiraharadori.
So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So the benediction, do we know if that works like White Mage Benediction, where it doesn't necessarily take them to 100 HP, like full HP?
Wait, what? Benediction doesn't take you to 100 HP?
Full 100%?
HP. 100%? What? Since when?
Whenever I was on Monk one time, I was actually quite surprised. The White Mage used Benediction, and I didn't get full HP.
Are you sure you just weren't being hit at the time?
No.
Yeah, learn to be benedicted.
I thought it did.
I'm pretty sure it does. I think the Ellison's Monk is
maybe
just messed up.
Maybe I just switched gear or something. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the items that are going to be dropping off of Ma Ilmu... is the bamboo charcoal basket.
The items that he's going to be bestowing upon you.
He doesn't bestow
them. He's a bestower.
No, you just take them from him.
Because he bestows them when you kill him.
No, you kill him and then you take it.
Because he bestows them upon
you.
He
bestows them.
Why are you fighting this?
He can't bestow them if he's not alive.
He's bestowing the cures upon himself. And possibly buffs.
I'm not tearing at your jokes no more.
Tittering.
Tittering.
So the items that that drop here, we've got a club called Clear Path, damage 27, delay 288, accuracy plus 5, magic accuracy plus 5, and of course the set increases evasion and HP recovered while healing while reducing enmity. The other item that that drops is called the Cruadin, which is a great sword, damage 83, delay 480, strength plus 3, and under campaign, critical hit rate plus 15%, and increases critical hit damage, which that's fairly awesome. So another halfway decent campaign piece there.
Paladin piece.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well. And that will, that's pretty much it for Ma Ilmu, the bestower. Which means we've only got really two more NMs here in the,
I call the last
castle.
One.
Castle
number 16.
Castle as Trojapath. So Mizu, why don't you tell us about Asterion?
Okay, I'm glad you said it because I can pronounce it. it's a monk Tauri, so it's going to have Mortal Ray, but it doesn't use that till about 50%. As its HP drops, it also gets a faster attack speed till about near 100 fist, and on top of that, it can 100 fist.
Fun.
Yeah, and it also starts to build a resistance to stun easily.
Well, that's...
So, IMO, best thing to do is when it starts 100 fists, just steal all the enmity from your tank, and then pop perfect dodge and be the hero.
Throw Juxta at it.
That's Holy what Shadow
I
Bind.
I like that idea.
Or stun it.
Yeah. Well, it builds resistance.
It builds resistance.
That's true. Yeah, way to go.
Or just stun at the end of the fight.
Well, don't stun it at all until it starts using 100 fists.
Well, if it uses 100 fists, you could just sentinel that, I guess.
Paladin can use sentinel and they'll be fine. If you have a good paladin like me. Oh, I'm just kidding.
So when it pops 100 fists, everyone starts.
Or like
him
in the Burger King.
Hopefully.
Or you could just get the new Shadow Lord gear and just sit there and have all your damage absorbed and mitigated for half your damage. Anyway, alright, so the drops that we're looking at from Asterion, the bamboo tea basket. Why tea? That seems like an odd thing.
This must be some awesome freaking tea.
It must be. That's an odd thing for a Tauri to have.
It's made out of the blood of Tarus. He has to actually import it directly from Elmer, nice. The pointy.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The drops include the Alistair, which is a great axe, damage 88, delay 504, HP plus 10, MP plus 10, and like the rest of the sets, activated by the Brilliant, increases evasion and HP recovered while healing, while reducing enmity. The other item is called the Belvedere's Hose, which are a leg equip with defense 29, with a latent effect that increases accuracy and attack. Now, the latent effect is activated when you are less than or equal to, if your HP is less than or equal to 5% if you're in the red, and it provides 25 accuracy and 25 attack. So, really, I don't, I don't see what they would ever be used for. That seems like a fairly throwaway piece of gear. So, but that's what you're going to be looking at from Asterion.
It's for when you equip all those accessories to reduce your HP down to 1, and then you hit them with your brave attack, and then solo them with your HP attack.
What?
Oh, wait, has anyone played Dissidia in this room?
No. Never mind. That's right, you're referencing. Okay. No, I got it. I said I was done laughing at your joke.
Sorry. So.
I don't know.
Otherwise, I totally would have tittered at that.
You said you're done tittering.
And I would have tittered at that if it wasn't for not tittering.
Well,
you're a titterer.
Twitter.
You know what?
Okay, so next turn, is Susicko the Cannibal.
Suzuku.
The cannibal.
No, it's Sicko.
It's Sicko.
And it's cannibal, not cannibal.
It's like cannibal to me.
Cannibal.
So, Suzuku the cannibal, just so you know, while you're fighting him, he can summon Dunazo the spry footed. This is when he uses soul voice, he summons it. And he will then summon 2 more at 50% and 25%. It says if you do not kill the first 2 pets and he hits 25%, he will summon 2 more for a total of 4. 1 pet, 2 pet, 3 pet, 4 pet. For those of you out there. The pets have very high regen, and they also seem to have around 2,500 HP, and they are susceptible to gravity, which is easily landed. All pets are immune to all forms of sleep, but they are easily disposed of by 2 summoners using the Astral Flow ability, Diamond Dust. Pets do not have shared hate. They attack the first person they see, so put a Taru up there to draw them away. It also says, proven by a thief aggroing all 5 and cutting the pets while a monk tour the enemy to kill it. It says, if the enemy is de-aggroed, the pets will not despawn until it regens above their pop percentage. So if killed, they will repop when the enemy is aggroed again. He spawns around H7 on map 7 every 4 to 5 hours. Tachigekko will not silence the enemy. And he likes to spam Horde Lullaby, but it has a very small range. He's susceptible to dots. And it says that poison potions help immensely because of the Horde Lullaby. And apparently there was a report that Horde Lullaby reset hate, but that seems kind of dumb and also untrue. So whoever said that, you're dumb. And also a liar. It gains hidden regen from armies Paean 5. Even if it is dispelled, it will gain several HP percentages. Woo, go the cannibal. And he likes to eat things. Yep. So he drops 2 things. The first is a silk tongue, which is a dagger that no one would ever use. Charisma plus 4, singing skill plus 2, and the set increases evasion, HP recovered while healing, and reduces enmity. Usable by a bard, of course, and also a thief and a beastmaster.
For all of those thieves and beastmasters,
for all those
subbing
beastmasters
bard.
That love to sing, I mean,
beastmaster, bard, and for charm.
And you know what? I was actually, I fully expected this to be a Dark Knight weapon because it's called the Fail Knot. But apparently it's a bow used by Warrior, Red Mage, Thief, Paladin, Dark Beast, Ranger, Salmon, Ninja at level 69. Damage 72, delay 582. It has ranged accuracy plus 10, Stuttle Blow plus 5, and Enmity negative 5.
All right, so now you've killed all 8 of those NMs, and now moving on to... Zizuku?
Zizuku?
Wow, that was like the first one that I took a blind shot at. And actually,
Manifest.
The Manifest,
yes. You left that part out.
Zizuku the Manifest. Now, this is the burning circle that you boss. Basically... Yeah, this is the boss. For us Troja.
This is the bloodthirsty, horrible NM that's gonna wipe everybody that comes out when you give him the grass basket, the medicine, the bugs, the flower, the birdcage, some charcoal, tea, and a snake cage.
You don't
cage.
Give them to him. You take it to an NPC, and you get key items, and then you go back to the NPC.
I like my idea better. That you bring him all these presents, and then he's just like, screw you guys, you're dead.
Now this is, we tried this BC and got our asses handed to us in very
Did,
short order.
I actually don't think I was there.
You weren't there?
Nope. I heard about it though.
Yeah, that was a face raping if I've ever seen one. So I understand from our guests that they have very little experience with this BC as well, correct?
my link shield did it once, and we said forget it since no one wanted anything from there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the drop zone has been in this one as the other ones.
Okay, so this is going to be really, except for the Yagudo helmet, it's amazing for Ranger. So this is going to be really fun, because this is one of those times where we all get to pretend like we know what we're doing and what we're talking about when we're really just reading off the wiki.
That's pretty much it.
That's what we do every time.
Wait, you said the Yagudo helm is good for Ranger?
I think that's the one, isn't it?
No, that's the turtle.
No.
Oh, it is the turtle. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh, turtle.
Sorry.
Fail not.
Which one is the Yagudo helm, then? What does that have on it?
It's int +2, mind +2, charisma +2, magic attack +2.
Oh,
perfect for Ranger.
Accuracy +2.
Heck yeah.
Awesome.
For Kala's Ranger. We need the mind for when we're landing our elemental arrows.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Question mark.
I said mind, though. You used int, didn't you?
Now,
no, I think it's mind.
Okay. Real quick, something to keep in mind about Ziku the Manifest is that it exists both in the past and in the present, Von Adil. When you go to...
Because he has a DeLorean.
Oh,
how we missed you, Kala.
That was bad. That was a
Back to the Future reference, by the way.
Thanks for clarification.
So, Ziku the Manifest, if that does sound familiar, that's why, because it does exist, yeah.
Is that the Yagudo King in the present day with the astral signa?
That's correct.
He's not a king, okay? They do not operate under a kingdom.
They are a
Yagudo military.
Actually, she might
he
be
is
a,
the manifest.
Actually, I think it might be a girl.
He's like a shaman. Yeah. He's like the.
Yeah,
the
she's a
elder.
Female. She's a female.
It's a she.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's obviously a Beastman Queen.
Yeah, well, that's why she has bad drops.
Oh, death glares from the
Room.
Oh, Jock's on top of his game today.
Oh, zing. All right, so the thing about Ziku is that she spawns along with four elementals, and again, really, this is a tough fight. You're going to be in for a hard one here. Ziku the Manifest has an aura effect, which seems to give players in range a weight effect. But I think that the aura effect is something that's common among all of the SCNMs here. Not the eight that you find standing around, but the three BCs. The assistant elementals can cast haste, gravity, arrow gut 2, tornado 2, silence, and blink.
And et cetera.
And et cetera, apparently.
That's a good spell. I use that one a lot.
There's a move that Ziku does called Vortico Sands, which unleashes a whirlwind upon players, inflicting heavy wind damage, and an additional effect silence and strip equipment. So, so that means that TP is going to get wiped a lot. But it says it uses Vortico Sands after a short message and say, causing heavy AoE damage and silence, and obviously also stripping gear. Uses Kamatachi. Almost sounds like a reverse Tamagotchi. deals heavy damage to players in area of effect. Also causes knockback and full dispel. That's
I was just gonna push you off the cliff.
Uses dark invocation like the other.
Which we're not apparently really sure exactly what it does. There's a lot of question marks.
Buffs do wear upon entering the BCNM. Re-Ray's hairpin does not wear. The elementals move at 150% movement speed.
But there is a verification tag there. That may not be
it
true.
It basically means don't try to kite them, because you can't.
But it also says here that a paladin ninja was able to kite these without them catching up for quite some time, and he did not seem to think they were faster than normal.
They have to stop to cast.
There you go.
That's true.
That could be it.
You can kite.
The elementals cannot be super tanked while Zizuku is pulled away. And extremely resistant to melee attacks, and Zizuku the Manifest can strip all players of their gear that are in range. So, that's what you're going to be looking at for the fight. That's the NM right there.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. So, strategy for this fight. Guests, I know that that you guys don't necessarily have a whole ton of of experience with this, but you know, let me just put it to you, let me put it out there. What do you guys think? As far as strategy.
All right, full buff. Have a scholar and a few black mages, like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Go up, have the paladin aggro the NM, but have the scholar manifest bind, since that works. And the black mages just Lazaga 3, kill the elementals, they don't get resummoned.
Yeah. You'll probably want to avoid kiting for this fight. Just the and the other thing that you're going to want to look out for is astral flow, because that's going to be high damage. A mage heavy, a black mage heavy specifically, a group can do this and can be successful. But you're going to have a heck of a hard time. All right, then. Well, so, really, with all of us not having a whole lot of experience with this particular Burning Circle, not a whole lot that we can recommend beyond that. You know, magic heavy, try to bring a good tank with you.
Try to not die.
Yeah, try to not die. And if you win, some of the possible rewards include the Brilliant Earring, which is, of course, the earring needed to activate the different weapons. But that has no natural stats on it. It just is used to complete the set along with the weapons. Let's see. What else are you going to be looking at here? You've got Rhee's headgear, which is a headpiece equipable by all jobs at level 71. With defense 21, int +2, mind +2, charisma +2, magic accuracy +2, and magic attack bonus +2.
For those rangers.
Yep.
Where? Ranger / corsair.
You can also get one of the following. A diverter's ring, which is MP +15, and avatar enmity +2, equipable at level 71. The Koshay? Yeah, and something like that. The Koshay Krakows, which are level 71 summoner feat. Defense 14, physical damage means physical damage curse effect. When you get hit, I think you give...
You have a chance to curse them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Wesket.
Yeah, and the Avatar gets an attack and defense bonus. So... the other item that you get is that you could get is called the Prester, which is a level 71 staff equipable by all jobs. Damage 58, delay 366, latent effect increases weapon skill accuracy and damage, and an additional effect wind damage. The latent effect is active using any weapon skill with a skill chain attribute of detonation, and by extension, fragmentation. So, yeah, I don't know why mages would be weapon skilling, but
do it,
whatever. Mm-hmm. So the unknown grouping finally for Zizuku, an Adamanor, D-Cloth, ebony and mahogany logs, Vialixer +1,
and then a lot of crap.
Just sell it. Just sell
rocks. Those are pretty good, I guess.
Sell it or craft it. One of the two.
Who crafts?
Or just drop it.
Some people. I love crafting, actually.
Shh, you would.
Rocks the rocks.
So we're going to go ahead and move on to Laval here.
I want to add something about the key items.
Sure.
Since it's rare X, only one person can hold them and trade them and have the key.
That's a good point.
Right, all, one person has to have all 8 boxes in their inventory, trade it all to the NPC to get all the key items.
Yep. So it's a lot like going through Sky when you're killing stuff to get the items, you know, different people are going to be holding on to different sets.
Except those aren't rare eggs.
But they drop them, so you need the set. But unlike the Sky ones, you can only have one set at a time.
More like Lambus.
I want a bandolero scarf. That sounds awesome.
So so why don't we move on to Laval here. And you know, just for the sake of time, let's try to speed things up just a little bit.
I can speed things up. I will hit permafleet, and we will get through this in 15 minutes if you want. I'm just saying.
I can cast haste.
No, because we still do want to, you know, go around the room.
You've seen me do it before.
So really, I think that that's what's worth noting is the notable drops from each of the SCNMs and just what their trick is. I don't think we really need to go into two more than that. So why don't we start off with Coinbiter Jackonock. Which is a dark knight, an orc, spawned every 2 to 4 hours at F6. It spawns around F6. It casts dread spikes and will always recast dread spikes if removed. So it's going to have permanent dread spikes. It's immune to Requiem, Gravity, and Bind, and spams Shoulder Charge, physical linear AoE that absorbs 2 to 4 shadows and inflicts around 750 damage to a Black Mage with Stone Skin and Protect 2. Very hard hitting, and it starts the fight automatically with 100 TP.
And that's this thing's basically his thing is the Shoulder Charge spam.
Yep. So be on the lookout for that. Its drops include the Mervulus, I guess.
They spelled Mervulus wrong.
it's a sword equipable at level 69 by Warrior, Red Mage, Paladin, and Dark Knight. And it's damage 63, delay 224, magic attack bonus plus 2. And the set, like everything else that's activated by an earring, this one specifically, the Supremacy earring, gives an increase to strength attack, ranged attack, and magic attack. Now it gives strength plus 6, attack plus 4, ranged attack plus 4, magic attack bonus plus 2, and when that's just when both the weapon and the supremacy earring are equipped together. So much more of an offensive sort of stance as opposed to the last one. And then the Bandolero Scarf is the other drop, which is evasion plus 5, and it enhances the Gill Finder effect.
Yes.
Yay.
It's totally useful.
So it seems that each area has its own special stat.
Yeah, and specific earring, too. And the earrings drop off of the big baddies. So definitely something to keep in mind.
Now, this next guy is one that I like to fight.
Okay, why don't you tell us about...
This is just because I have a lot of experience with this one. It's Drake Chater Zlodgod.
Isn't that the campaign one?
No.
No, I don't think he's in campaign. A couple of these things are from campaign. Like, you'll notice they appear in both of them, I'm pretty sure. But but this isn't one of the guys. Now, this guy's... usually, when you're pulling him, he could require a sack pull because you pull him from the concave at G7. Now, when we used to do it, I don't think we ever had to sack pull because there wasn't really that many, but if, you know, we might have got like one or two links, which we dispatched really quick. And, this guy just jumps. Like, that's all he jumps. He jumps constantly. So it's best to have him kited. And as he gets weaker, his, jumps get stronger. And, they can land for anywhere between like 3 and 2,000 damage, and they absorb one shadow. So basically, it's just gonna be one of those annoying fights where your tank kites him, and you just run around behind whacking away at him.
Pretty much, yep.
He's going to drop the Orca Strap, which gives attack plus 3, all drops level 50, and the Sky Strider, which is a pole arm that gives a TP bonus to jump, and the set increases strength attack, ranged accuracy, magic attack bonus, and has a damage of 93 and a delay of 492.
Right on. Ventus, why don't you tell us about Feeble Scheme Bahogbig?
Feeble Scheme... whatever. it's a Black Mage orc. It's spawned around 2 to 4 hours at the corner on E10. Seems like it has Thundaga and Faraga 3, but a bunch of Aga spells and Tier 4 spells. It summons Renee or Vials, which I don't know. Wait. Oh, it's kind of, it does, each grenade have its own status effect. The silent blast gives silence, paralyzing blast paralyze, and binding blast bind, which sounds like a pain.
Yeah, it just, it randomly runs, it like places them around the area, so if you're running around and you're standing by one when it goes off, then you get the status effect. Yeah. So that's particularly bad for mages, that quit happens, they're trying to stand away from the melee and they get silenced, and that sucks.
If I remember the one time that we fought it, like, they were annoying, but it's not too much for your mages to handle.
Right,
I mean, maybe it's annoying to the mages, but...
Well, you can target the grenades, and each of them only have about 100 to 150 HP, so they're pretty, I mean, you know, one swing from a Dark Knight, and that's pretty much gone.
Well, the only problem is they're timed, if so by the time you swing, they'll probably have blown up.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't think you have, like, 10, 12 seconds to hit.
Yeah,
well...
But he can be burned down pretty easy from what I remember, so...
It uses a special TP move Tornado Edge, which inflicts max HP down and max MP down and max TP down on players in a wide fan-shaped area.
How does that max TP down work exactly?
I think that you can't get more than 100.
It keeps you from getting 300 TP.
That sucks.
TP you gain, yeah.
That sucks.
Well, who wastes all 300 TP anyways?
Yeah, seriously.
I do, because I get TP like crazy. I don't know about y'all.
For...
The aliens disagree with you.
That's the... Guys, come on, seriously. That's the Slender Man sound. Don't you know Slender Man? Juxta, you should know Slender Man. What? Are you fucking kidding me?
I only know good things, I'm sorry.
Are you serious? You're a goon. You're a goon. You should know. You should know about Slenderman. Damn it!
I was gonna say, is that something from an essay or something?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what Slenderman is.
You should.
If you ask me if I have stairs in the house, I would tell you I'm protected. But
you guys are giving away the codes.
No, I'm not. They just don't know the rest of it.
So
this thing seems to be immune to amphibian magic. So also, elemental seed does not work.
Yep.
Or seems to not work.
Yep.
So it's more like it's not that hard, just a pain to deal with status effect.
Yeah. So there you go. That's Feeble Scheme Bahagbig. The couple of drops you're going to be looking at. Catalyst, which is a staff, damage 60, delay 402. Bonus damage added to magic bursts, and like everything else, in Laval, when equipped with the Supremacy Earring, gives strength attack, ranged attack, magic attack bonus. And that's level 69, equipable by warrior, monk, white mage, black mage, red mage, beast, bard, summoner, and scholar, for those times when your warrior or your monk will be magic bursting.
Yay, monk's got something completely useless.
You can magic burst a chi blast.
Can you?
Maybe when I get chi beam. No.
Shut up, aliens.
Damn it, Slenderman! The Vitor Cape, which is equipable at level 69 by all jobs, and defense 9, HP plus 15, MP plus 15, and under campaign, HP plus 15, HP plus 5%, MP plus 15, MP plus 5%. Isn't that a little bit redundant to add the HP and MP plus 15 under campaign? Or does that mean that it's going to be now 30?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's separate.
HP recovered while healing plus 2, and MP recovered while healing plus 2. So there you go. That's Feeble Scheme Bahagbig. So Mizu, why don't you talk about the all-seeing Onyx Eye?
I like to call this one the Dark Knight Killer, and I'll tell you why afterwards.
I hate this guy.
Oh, I think I know why. All-seeing Onyx Eye is a scholar, basically. It always has manifestation on, so everything cast besides helixes and the single tier 4s are AoE. And it also casts, I think I saw Ancient Magic once. Can't quite remember. But its spell timers go down as its HP drops till almost instant cast. It also has a gazed AoE charm, so you should pretty much just tank it backwards. And, yeah, level 5 Petrify, as all eyes have. That's really it for him.
That's pretty much it. Dark Knight Killer, why?
So, I want to hear his guess first. Why do you think I call it the Dark Knight Killer?
Well,
our Dark Knights got charmed once, so a black mage of ours had fun, just ancient magic to him.
It's very close to that, yeah. We were fighting at once with Versus, and was doing his backwards tanking crap. And then Jess pulled hate, and right as it turned around, it got everybody. Jess ended up slaughtering everyone until I was the last one left, and I'm like, well, what the heck? So I dancing edged him to death.
If I remember correctly, does this take, like, reduced damage from magic at all? Because I feel like I did this on Black Mage, and my nukes were not quite as pretty as they usually are.
It has magic barrier.
Yeah, okay.
So when it uses magic barrier, it is susceptible to nukes, but it may appear immune to magic once it uses magic barrier.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's one more thing of note on it, that hate cannot be logged on the NM. The only hate reset is from level 5 Petrify.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's All-Seeing Onyx Eye, the couple of drops that you're going to be looking at. First, the Mirror Tiara, which is a headpiece, defense 20, enmity minus 7, MP recovered while healing plus 3, and under campaign magic damage taken minus 10%. Also got the Namiyo Yogi.
Yep. To complete the set, you need a picnic basket.
But it is another one of those. It is another one of those where the supremacy earring will give you the strength attack and ranged attack and magic attack bonus. But it is a great katana. Damage 80, delay 450, and its natural stat bonus on there is enmity plus 5. So that's pretty much the All-Seeing Onyx Eye, which brings us to Cogtooth Skagnog.
I like eggnog.
This is an orcish war machine type mob. It's also a ranger. It is spawned every 2 to 4 hours, like most everything else, but it's spawned at I-9 in the upper hallway corner. It constantly spams and rotates the following TP moves: scatter shell, sticky grenade, blast bomb, tear grenade, fire bomb, and burst. Almost all attacks are AoE sans burst. Scatter shell is magical 1,000 needles damage, damage reduction by stone, skin, and shell. Tear grenade is silence and bind. Sticky grenade is it adds like a gravity sort of effect. It does not use melee attacks at all, and ceases to use burst at around 80%, fountain at 60, firebomb at 40, blast bomb at 20, only uses tear grenade and sticky grenade and scatter shell below 20%.
And the best and really the only strategy that I've ever seen used about this is you send your tank in to grab aggro really quick, and then everyone else just goes in and you zerg it down like really quick. I think most of our fights lasted under 45 seconds.
Yeah. The drops that you're going to be looking at are Elwood's Clogs, which are feet equip, defense 15, HP and MP up by 4%. Under campaign, that's HP and MP up by 8%, and that's equipable by level 71, White Mage, Black Mage, Red Mage, Paladin, Dark Knight, Summoner, Blue Mage, and Scholar. The other drop you're going to be looking at is the Murderer, which is a gun. It's equipable at level 69 by Ranger and Corsair. Damage 38, delay 600, ranged attack plus 8, and it's another one of those set bonuses, increasing strength attack, ranged attack, and magic attack. So, that is it for Cogtooth Skagnog. Great name. Love that name. Why don't we talk about the giant Agrios?
Alright, we'll talk about the giant Agrios. He has some awesome drops.
Does he?
Not really.
That's right.
Really?
Alright, so yeah, he's a giant Gigas who has a pretty kick-ass looking helm. He time spawns at H6 every 2 to 4 hours. High defense, fairly high accuracy. He uses Daunting Hurl, which is a catapult attack that does pretty inconsistent damage. Sometimes it can do 8 to 900, and in some cases it'll be as weak as 100 to 300 damage, and it is avoidable by Blink. It also uses Grand Slam and Power Attack very frequently, also blinkable. It appears to have some sort of enmity reset that is caused apparently during the catapult Daunting Hurl ability when it lands. It can also resist paralyze and gravity, but slow lands very well. It says that it's duoable by some combination 75s, so it's probably not that hard to do. And it uses up to 3 TB moves in a row, similar to Despot. And something to note about really all of these in Laval
is that it says that just about every one of these NMs in the Vol and Badeau are killable by pretty simple party setups as long as you have proper knowledge of the NM. So, the, you know.
Yeah, as long as you know, what you're getting into.
Yep, and so now his awesome drops. First is the weapon he drops, which is the Sparth. It has haste plus 1%, and then when you get the earring, it increases, as before, strength attack, range attack, magic attack, bonus. That's for Warrior Dark, and it's a great axe. And the other one...
It is... the item is a great axe. It's not necessarily a great axe.
And and the other one, which goes into your ammo slot, is the Iwatsu Booty, which is a little tiny pebble.
You what?
I want some booty.
Everyone wants some booty. HP plus 10 and vitality plus 1.
Fail.
That sounds fair. He just wanted to say that because of that one item. That's the only reason he wanted this NM.
Everybody should have some booty.
Everyone has that item.
So our next NM is False Spinner Behudabrod. Budbrod? Yeah, Budbrod.
Budbrod.
Buddy
Brod.
Who wants to take this one? Anyone?
Juxta.
Juxta. There you go.
This guy, he's a monk. Scroll down. He dances a lot. He does dances, and he spams frenetic dance, and he uses 100 fists. He does not finale at all because he's a dancer. Done.
He spawns it around E8 too.
Yeah. So good strategy is to kill him with nukes and dots, and don't throw too many melee at him, or you'll be out of MP because you're healing those damn monks who show up with warrior sub.
So the weapons, or I'm sorry, the drops. Well, both of them actually are weapons. You've got the Acantha Shavers, which are a hand-to-hand weapon, equipable at level 69 by Warrior, Monk, Beastmaster, Ninja, and Pup. Damage plus 18, delay plus 51, store TP plus 1, and again, it's one of those sets that increases strength attack, range attack, and magic attack. And we've also got the Rainmaker, which is an axe. Damage 45, delay 276, int minus 1, mind minus 1, charisma minus 1, but stored TP plus 1, and under campaign, strength plus 5, and that's level 69 Beastmaster. So
it's good for those Beastmasters who go in non and then equip their warrior gear so they can go Beast Warrior to party and be like, no, guys, I'm totally a warrior. See, look, why would I have charisma negative 1? It doesn't make sense. I'm a warrior, guys.
Well, I don't think you're going to be charming too much when you're in campaign anyway, so it is a halfway decent campaign piece, if for nothing else. That brings us to our last NM, Rugaroo.
Who is, again, a very easy NM to do.
Rugaroo.
He's a null suck.
Yeah, and well, it's basically, you just fight him like you would a normal null, and, you know, you'll eventually beat him past his... little recharge, his little curing thing. But yeah, other than that, he's not really much.
So what's his trick?
He's a Noel.
He just keeps using the howl.
I think they cure more depending on the moon phase. Does this guy is he affected by that too?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But no, he doesn't have like any, you know. He's basically just a lot stronger of a Noel. Usually when you pull him, you're going to probably pull him with one or two adds. So, you know, you'll have your tank him while you kill down the other adds. And then, yeah, you just sit there and chip away at him until he's dead.
Yeah, also, and also spams Call of the Moon. Also, make 5 times intimidation extremely often.
Yeah, there's his thing. Yeah, he has a very, very high intimidate rate.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Also, his
and
name sounds like kangaroo.
Uses a Sharon Claw.
That's very important.
The items that it drops, the Danzo Teko.
I want those.
Which is defense 21, counter plus 2, which is its natural... adjustment on there, but under campaign it's counter plus 4 and store TP plus 5.
I would just like to point out that even if you get those Ellison, puppet masters are still going to be better than your monk.
I don't believe that.
You said it.
The other item is a scythe with damage 97, delay 528, and enhances the beast killer effect, and then of course it's another one of those supremacy earring, which gives you the strength attack, ranged attack, and magic attack bonus. So not bad, not terrible if you can get the earring. That takes care of the final NM, which brings us to Blood Bathed Crown.
Yeah. Now you are ready to go give your XP to the NM.
Yep.
This is one of the hard ones.
But fortunately, we have a better idea of how to do this as opposed to Ziziku. So, Mizu, why don't we talk about the blood-bathed crown NM here?
When you go inside, you'll be finding a blood crown Broadhold. He's a paladin-type mob. Then you got four lackeys. Two rangers and two warriors. Buffs do wear upon entering, except for re-raise items. And you'll need probably two tanks to be safe.
Might want to, yeah.
Two, you'll need a one to pull off extras, and one to just aggro them all, just super tank for all you kill. But you're only going to kill two of the extras, for now anyway.
Okay.
When you kill its lackeys, it gets stronger. So if you just kill off two and just leave the rangers, the second tank can hold them indefinitely. Then you work on the NM, which after about 20% of its HP is gone, or in 2 hours, its aura, which gives flash effect, will be gone, so you can actually melee it now.
Ah, okay.
Then, let's see. Oh, it uses a move called Bell of Chaos, 15 feet knockback.
Ouch.
But each shadow you have up will absorb some of the damage. He's actually pretty easy after you get that. Just debuff him with slow. Keep your tank alive. Sacrifice a terror so you get treasure hunter. Then kill the two rangers, and you're good.
Well, right on.
Well, my LS always did is we actually just would have one tank run in and aggro everything and kite it around, and we would pull off. We'd have a DD voke off the adds from the paladin who was running around. And then we'd actually just kill them all, and as soon as all the adds are gone, the tank would join in, and we'd just deserve down the main thing. It wasn't actually very hard.
Well, there's another strategy. Kahlo, have you actually done this one?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I thought you did some of these.
No, the ones that I did was, that you might be thinking of, is we went in when Nation has complete control of all the campaign areas. You can go in and doing the campaign ones.
Oh, the campaign ops. So like splitting errors and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, that's what you have.
And that one just face raped us over and over.
Oh,
and
yes,
over.
I have many horrible memories of that one as well.
Splitting errors, really?
Yes, Tongs, who knows my pain. We tried that one about 10 million times last week.
Really?
2 weeks ago. It's really hard.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, we beat it with 5.
You beat it with 5?
Was that,
screw you.
Was that before or after? They're like, hey, this must be too easy. Let's make it harder.
No, it was like we went with 6, 1, and DC. And so we went by, we used all our 2 hours.
Because I know when it first came out, people were beating it like really easy. But then they changed something about it that made it like super
hard. Probably the hate of the
ads.
That's really
nice. No, it was like a month ago, like last time.
Nah, I don't know.
Anyway.
All right, so there's a couple of strategies for you to use for this fight, but some of the notable drops coming out of
Gnagabod's Helm.
Yeah, this is a nice one.
Amazing.
Defense 24, strength plus 6, dex plus 4, attack plus 8, and slow plus 5%. Great weapon skill piece.
That's like the best you can get before Hecatomb Cap.
Yeah, pretty much. I think strength plus 6 is the highest that you can get on your head, except for Hecatomb Head. I think that's the only one that breaks that.
Yep, which is plus 12.
Yeah, not even the Moogle cap gives you that much. I think that's maxed out at 6. But anyway, good stuff there. And of course, the Supremacy Earring, that's what activates all of the set pieces. You've also got Niumi's Tights. Nemus, there we go.
Nemue.
Defense 28, charisma plus 8, light elemental plus 20, and attack plus 4, magic attack bonus plus 4. Equipable at 71 by Red Mage, Paladin, Dark Knight, Ranger, Dragoon, Blue Mage, and Corsair. I'd use it for Ranger.
It's for when you use status bolts.
You've also got the ruler, which is a sword, damage 44, delay 264, enhances resist sleep effect, resist silence, resist bind, and resist gravity. I don't see any petrify on there. So not technically not everything, but that's 71 warrior, red mage, paladin, and dark knight. There's also the Fanon ring or Finian ring or Finian.
Finian.
That's that augments shield bash and enhances potency of banish versus the undead, and it adds approximately 50 damage to shield bash. That's what it means.
Pretty decent macro at peace. I use it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right on.
There's no reason not to.
So there you go. That's most of the notable drops. I mean, you can also get like a D ingot, adamant ore, dark steel ingot,
a moonstone,
bunch of crafting stuff.
It's evolved Jigglypuff.
That's exactly what it's used for.
No, it's proper used for evolving Clefairy.
Jigglypuff is better.
So that's it. That's a Bloodbathe crown. You know, despite how quickly we went over it, it's actually a very challenging fight. Good stuff though. And that brings us to our last part of the SCNM system.
And Beedowix.
Beedowix.
Remember when it was Beedowix?
Beedowix.
Lol.
Beedowix.
But Badeau is where you're going to be heading next. Kala, what the hell? Why don't we start with you?
No, I want to do B-Rez.
You want to do B-Rez?
That's the next one.
I want to do D-Sol.
All right, so we're going to start off with Galu Nevermolt.
He never molts.
He never molts, apparently.
That's actually, believe it or not, that's where he got his name from.
Ever?
Are you sure?
Well, except for turtles.
Yeah, I thought only birds molted. I didn't know.
That's why he's never molt.
But he's found on the upper level of Badeau around K8, K9, behind the Quad of Charm door. He uses Shell Charge TP move, which is Cone High Damage Knockback and Amnesia, absorbed by between 1 to 3 shadows. Uses Aura Lob, which is damage ranged AoE, hit upwards for 1400 on a 75 warrior and wipe shadows. Diamond Shell has added effect of reprisal when attacking from behind. Uses Invincible with additional reprisal effect. Will frequently turn around and make you attack his back. Will generally resist elemental magic performed on it if the player is not facing it head-on. Having a mage sub Dark Knight or a Dark Knight Thief makes it even easier to being able to stun or lob and shell charge, with the latter which can easily one-shot a tank. DDs and melees on the sides of this mob, and only weapon skill immediately after the mob turns its back, so that your damage is not wasted on its back. Meleeing on its side will also reduce the chances for Aura Lob or Charge to take out your DDs in one hit. And it uses Cure 4 under 33%. So, did you ever fight this one, Kalo?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Okay. My two main experiences is with B-Rez and Observant Zekka, which I have a really good story to go with Observant Zekka.
Gotcha. All right. Well, this seems to be, the strategy here is do not hit its back, because that seems to just be, wasted damage. You got what? What?
Nothing, never mind.
So you got the two drops here. First, the Terror Shield, which is defense 20, HP plus 20, enmity plus 4, and then under campaign, damage taken minus 10%.
Pretty good shield.
Not bad.
Okay. Use it all the time, I think.
You've also got the Sin Fender.
It helps fend off sin.
Which is a level 69 sword equipable by Paladin and Dark Knight. Damage 38, delay 228, shield skill plus 5. And the set increases HP, vitality, accuracy, and ranged accuracy. And that's, of course, when you have the Paramount Earring equipped. So there you go.
Next, we have B-Rez, or Brez. I like calling him B-Rez. He is a Fomor from Badeau S, which is what we're talking about right now. And you're going to find him down in K8 on the second map in the small south room. The best thing to do is you're going to want to pull him into the hallway there, otherwise you're going to take aggro from all kinds of crap and make it extremely harder. He has enhanced movement speeds, and he only uses kick attacks. Now, unlike normal monks, this does not make him gimp, it makes him OP. He also has double attacks, so sometimes he'll do another kick attack, which is three kicks. And his big thing here is that he uses dragon kick, that's it. And most of the time, it doesn't even say Reddy's Dragon Kick. He just uses it. It's been seen to do over 2,300 damage. I've seen him one-shot Paladin tanks before, and included. Just Dragon kicked him right out of there. It can be absorbed by one shadow, and he does use 100 fists, which is actually for him 100 kicks. He has
some, that must look kind of funny when he.
He has relatively slow attack speed compared to other monk types, and he's very susceptible to poison and slow. But he is immune to paralyze, gravity, and bind. His normal attacks are relatively weak. So it's really just dragon kick that you have to watch out for. I think I remember dying a lot here on melee, but mages are usually relatively all right. So. Being mage heavy, I think, is pretty okay. Just nuking him down, dotting him down, and other than that, you know, he's not really that bad.
Fair enough.
Yep, he dropped some pretty okay stuff. The emissary boots, I mean, they're not anything super great, but it'd be cool to have, you know, for like solo sets or whatever. Evasion plus five, parry skill plus five. It's always cool. And then he drops some hand to hands, which is the Useshi. Damage plus 8, delay plus 48, kick attacks plus 3, and the set, of course, increases HP, vitality, accuracy, and ranged accuracy, and that's the little set bonus for all the Bado weapons. And usable by level 69 Warrior Monk, Red Mage, Thief, Paladin, Dark Beast, Ranger, and Dancer.
Ranger?
Yeah, you know, Ranger. For those rangers that want to hit stuff.
With kick?
Close.
Or kick stuff.
Combatters. Yeah,
those aren't so great.
And that's it. That's it for Brez or B-Rez.
B-Rez, my bro.
B-Rez.
Homie.
Which moves us to D-Zo Sponge Shell.
Squarepants.
And Ventus, why don't you tell us about D-Zo Sponge Shell?
Yeah, that. He's found near the ramp to the upper level E10. And now I remember there's a bunch of orcs around, so it's pretty easy to link. He has this particular ability that makes him absorb magic or melee. So he kind of switch over each one, so you have to keep an eye on that.
Is there any kind of message when he switches between taking melee and magic damage?
Yeah, he does, two-hour thing.
It's an animation, isn't it?
Yeah, two-hour animation.
Okay, gotcha.
He uses oil up. I think all the quadrups over here... does that.
I think so, yeah. And that can hit pretty hard if you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, we did it with summoners, and sometimes just throw it to summoners, and all the summoners were, like, pretty red.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And seems susceptible to slow and stun.
Which is good.
Yeah, good. But the pain here is the switching of magic and
he switches a lot. Like, constantly. You have a few seconds, and then it'll switch again.
Yeah, so sometimes you have the summoner and blood pack, and it switches while he's readying, so you cure him.
Is it even worth it to have the melees disengage? I mean, mitigate? Does it mitigate damage, or does it absorb damage?
No, it's like absorbs plus.
It's weird.
Yeah, it sucks too. Like you'll be running a burst two, and it switches, and then you. Land a huge spell, it's not a good idea.
And you do a burst and do 500, and then it switches and you're curing for 1500.
Oh yeah, I fought this guy. He's kind of annoying.
It is annoying.
Yeah, but that's basically what you're going to be looking at for D-Zo Sponge Shell. The couple of items that you're going to be looking to get out of this is the Ballast Rod...
Balisarde,
whatever, I don't care. Great sword, damage 80, delay 456, HP and MP up plus 10, and the set increases HP, vitality, accuracy, and ranged accuracy. If they had a great sword that had that was for the orcs, I may have checked that out, but being that it's a scythe, I probably won't. And also the Patriot's Ring, which is MP plus 1%, and under campaign, MP plus 4%.
Woo! I guess.
Moops.
It'll collect dust, pretty much. So that moves us on to Observant Zekka,
who's a really fun fight to do.
Mizu, why don't you talk about Observant Zekka?
Observant Zekka is a black mage, white mage imp. Now, when it uses its Tantaras, I guess is how you say it.
Yeah.
When it uses Deafening, it'll counter weapon skills with Frantic Grip. When it uses the Amnesia one, it will counter magic with Instant Cast. If you cast Bio, it'll counter with Sleep Ga. Fire, it'll counter with Fire Ga, etc.
That sounds nasty.
Oh, yeah, it is. Especially when your Link Shell says, but I don't think dots matter. So then, it definitely does. So then when you cast, like, you know, the elemental things, like, oh, you know, I'm going to put frost on it and shock and whatever, and then all of a sudden it's like freeze, quake, and then you're like dead, and you're like WTF, and they go whoa. That's my story, by the way.
Congratulations, yeah. Slenderman approves.
Aliens.
But it does not counter Avatar Blood Packs or blue magic.
WTF.
No. Or blue magic.
That's strange.
And apparently, if you can time it right, he won't counter if he's already performing another action.
But get this, on the wiki, automatons are untested because, well, pop.
Every time you say that, we get disconnected.
The puppet masters are too busy off using their awesome new hand-to-hand.
Oh, yeah, my Oberon Sentai. But, you can actually solo this on Beast. I've done that before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have every level top 75, so hello.
Word.
How long did that take?
Dear Lord, how long indeed?
And there's your answer. So the drops that you're going to be looking at are the Kebi, which is a staff damage 56, delay 366, magic defense bonus plus 5. Set increases HP, vitality, accuracy, and ranged accuracy, equipable at 69 by warrior, monk, white mage, black mage, red mage, beastmaster, bard, summoner, and scholar. And you've also got Piper's Torque, which is a neck piece equipable by 69 bards, charisma plus 5, and wind instrument skill plus 5, and under campaign, wind instrument skill plus 10. That's it. For Observant Zekka.
You know, some of this gear, like the magic attack bonus gear, I think they just randomly picked a couple of melees and said, they can have that, because there's like one or two on
Yeah, there's absolutely no point at all.
Yeah. Well, it's just like giving red mage staff, but you don't get staff skill.
Yeah.
And hand to hand.
Well, it's because if they would have came out with the elemental Ranger staffs and been like, well, red mages don't have staff skill, so why would they be able to equip it? Red mages would be like, WTF, those are great for us. We should be able to use them. But you guys don't use staff skill. So we give it to them, and now they're like, what the fuck, why don't we have staff skill? We should have staff skill. Shut up, red mages.
Our next NM is Mooni
Thimbletail.
Thimbletail, there it is.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
This is a thief-type quadev that spawns... where does it spawn?
M6 map 2.
It uses Ore Toss in place of normal ranged attacks. It can also use Ore Lob, which is different. That's the AoE one, which will deal variable heavy damage in a narrow AoE cone and goes through and wipes shadows. Summons Silencing Tube, Paralyzing Tube, and Binding Tube. If you're familiar with campaign, you should be familiar with all of those. The summon tubes will appear right by random players, so I assume whoever he's targeting. Summons tubes more frequently as his HP drops. Will typically not melee and will run away to a distance that he can use ranged attacks and runs from whoever has hate. So the suggested strategy here is have a tank stand at a ranged attack distance and stand next to a wall, run to the other side of the wall to avoid tubes, and wear him down with ranged attack and magic. He also uses perfect dodge. So
Yeah, that's quite funny looking fight, because you have everyone running all over trying to avoid tubes. He's trying to avoid you, and it's quite hilarious to watch.
So,
Benny Hill.
Yeah. There you go. you've got the Demagogue Sash, which is waste equipped, defense 6, MP plus 15, int plus 3, mind plus 3, charisma plus 3, and under campaign, that's up to int plus 8, mind plus 8, and charisma plus 8. That's for level 69 monk, white mage, black mage, red mage, thief, dark, bard, ranger, summoner, blue mage, corsair, pup, dancer, and scholar.
Woohoo, T-Bless here.
Ranger.
Ranger.
The other item is the Farseer, which is a dagger, damage 26, delay 183, int plus 4, and it's one of those set bonuses. So that's the items that you get from the Thimble Tail. So...
let me do this next one.
Okay, you can go ahead and do
now,
this one.
Now, earlier I made a joke about a guy who had great drops, but this one really does have great drops, and we'll get to him in a minute. But this is a goblin. He is a ranger, and his name is Blifnik's Oily Cheeks.
Which cheeks are oily?
Both of them. The one
so
at the bottom.
He's found at G7 on the second map on the west edge. He frequently drops 1-5 goblin mines that explode a short time after appearing, causing moderate fire damage to everyone within a larger radius. They can be destroyed before going off. I'm just going to say now, if you're a melee in this fight, you're going to die. Period.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm used to it.
Yeah, so if you want a good strategy, you're going to want more ranged things than you are melee. He does the little bomb things after every bomb toss, and they can be prevented by stunning bomb toss. So a paladin using Circle Blade can take out multiple bombs in one weapon skill. Barfira is recommended. He's immune to bind, paralyze, and gravity, and he can be slowed. So other than that, just go right at him. One of the things he drops is the Goblin Cracker, which just goes in your ammo slot, and it's accuracy plus 2 and evasion plus 2. And this next thing that he drops, some of you may be familiar with, it is the Amano Kakoyumi. It's a bow. That was a
draw stuff.
That was a joke because Amano is the relic. Great katana.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
So smart people got it.
Yay.
Well, some smart people. Damage 69, archery 524. It's a bow, and it gives range attack plus 15 as well as a set bonus. And level 69, ranger and samurai. That's about it.
Alrighty. And that moves us on to Vago Bloodbasked. Ventus, why don't you tell us about Vago?
Vago. Okay. Red Mage job uses chain spell. Same yet again or love. AoE high damage. Can be silenced, but it seems like you need high inflicting magic skill. It doesn't seem that hard. It seems like it can be duo by several jobs set. That's about it.
Yeah, it there's not much of a trick. It just seems to use chain spell and Orlob. That's about it.
Orlob.
The drops you're going to be looking at, the Malagigi's Trousers, which is defense 31, enhances resist silence effect and under campaign, enhances fast cast effect, store TP plus 5. That's level 69 for Warrior, Red Mage, Thief, Paladin, Dark Knight, Beastmaster, Bard, Ranger, Samurai, Ninja, Dragoon, Blue Mage, Corsair, and Dancer. There is also the which is a katana. Damage 37, delay 227, defense plus 10. It's one of those set bonuses, and that's for level 69 ninjas. Which brings us to our last NM here, which is Ra-Da Scarscute.
His scars are so cute.
Mizu, why don't you tell us about Ra-Da?
Ra-Da is a warrior type that will just use Headbutt as its normal attack, and its only TP move is Skull Smash. If any of you've done the Growlbird arguments, that's what uses.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks.
Yeah. His 2 hours mighty strikes, and honestly, beyond that, it's not that hard. Just keep your tank hasted, keep shadows up, and if you want to laugh, you can, if you run out of range just in time for Skull Smash, it'll damage itself.
No way.
It does.
Yahweh.
That's crazy. That's funny.
That's dumb.
So, there you go. That's Ra-Da.
Rada?
Rada.
Keep scarring.
It's a lot of Rada.
The items that you're looking at are Fleet Wing, which is an axe, damage 45, delay 276, evasion plus 5 in the set bonus there. And also Lahui's Mask, which is obviously a headpiece. In the daytime, physical damage taken minus 3%. In the nighttime, magic damage taken minus 3%, and that's level 69 for Warrior, Red Mage, Paladin, Dark Knight, Beast, Ranger, Sam, Dragoon, and Blue Mage. And that are all 8 of your sealed container Notorious Monsters, which gets you to the Buried God SCNM battle against Zada Adamant King, which everyone should probably know from campaign, and if not, through one of the Genkai quests, whatever the hell that one was. So Ventus, why don't we talk about the Buried God here, the Zada Adamant King fight? What are we looking out for this?
Yeah, it seems like we have the Adamant King, the Job Warrior, and have 4 demi buddies. Mm-hmm. 2 white mage and 2 black mage. Seems like, you know, the same strategy that the other one, just have some people guide them around.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it has an aura, slow aura, goes away in whatever period of time.
Yeah, it can't be erased or dispelled or hasted over. So, I mean, that's like that's a permanent thing until it just wears.
I think the strive for it is just have Malenis go for it, Kaide, Demi, buddies, or maybe kill 2.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Black Mage for her and Sleeping Guy, and I guess.
Right on. Anyone to add anything to strategies for this fight?
Sadly, I haven't done this one either. I am useless.
Vicky?
This is kind of, I feel like, almost did it the same way as the Orc one, by killing the ads. There's ads in this one. Yeah. But I do remember one time we all died for some random reason, and everyone except, like, a red mage, and he literally kited the main boss around for, like, 10 or more minutes. While we recovered, and it was actually really epic. He became a hero in our LS for a while after that.
Wow.
It was pretty difficult. I don't remember why. It was harder than the Orc one. I don't remember why exactly.
I think it's because of that torment thing. That's what you got hit by.
Maybe. I only did this one once, I think, so.
Oh, the torment of the petrified AoE.
Buddha, yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah. And it does reset hate as well too, and its other TP moves include shell charge, skull smash, or toss and or lob. None of those are particularly fantastic when going up against a challenging fight like this. You can either take out the minis or you can kite them.
Well, you take down the boss.
That's it. So, that is it for the sealed container Notorious Monsters, which moves us now into...
What about drops?
Oh, yeah, drops.
You're right.
A word of caution to summoners. All monsters share an alliance hate, and if you release your summon, they will immediately come and zerg you.
Oh, so that's what I did.
Oh, there you go.
The sword part or the die part?
The release pet thing die.
Alright, so for drops in here, the first thing you're going to be looking at is the Paramount Earring, which if you use any of those weapons, you're going to want to complete that set bonus there. The other awesome thing, once I find out where the hell
awesome,
my thing
awesome.
Is, there it is, yep, is Zago's Barbute, which if you're a ranger is what you want to get your hands on. It gives ranged accuracy plus 8, ranged attack plus 8, enmity negative 5, and it enhances your snapshot effect.
That's pretty nice.
That is very pretty nice.
Totally nice.
Yes. You then have the Headsman's Ring, which I know a lot of people want to get their hands on because it gives Great Axe skill a plus 3, and I'm pretty sure Great Axe skill is hard to come by on other things. Maybe not.
You then have your stone mufflers, which is one of the few pieces of equipment out there that enhances stone skin effect. Also gives you 10 HP, MP, and 20 to resist earth. And then you have the seismic axe, which increases, or I'm sorry, latent effect increases weapon skill, accuracy, and damage. And that apparently the latent effect is active when you see talk page. So
it must be under debate.
So they're still trying to figure it out. But if the additional effect is earth damage, my guess would be that it activates when you use a weapon skill that, you know, has a skill chain effect of something earth based,
or on earth day or earth weather or something related.
Maybe. Or if you're standing on earth.
What level is that one?
71.
High level.
All right, so that takes care of the sealed container Notorious Monsters, which brings us down to the Fomor Kings.
What were they kings of?
I don't know. That's just rock. That's sort of been just kind of like what's been assigned to, you know, what they're called. Kind of like how you just call H&M's Ground Kings, stuff like that.
Or maybe it's because in Irish mythology, Berenetch was the father of Balor, the king of the Fomor.
Yeah, well, but Balor, the king of the Fomors, is the Hume Fomor that you pop to get the...
Wasn't Balor also a character in Lord of the Rings? No, that was Balin.
Yeah, that is Balin.
That was Gandalf.
All right. Okay, so...
Yeah, each of these are... related to Fomors in some way, so...
Yeah, yeah. All of these are about a four-hour spawn, so if they depop or they're killed, it's going to be 4 hours before you see them again. There are five NMs in total, two of which are found in Garlage Citadel, two of which are found in Eldeem Necropolis, and one is found in Crawler's Nest. This is all in the past. This is all Shadow Realm. This is way, way out of my league. I haven't fought any of these.
I didn't even know about these until this show.
There you go. So we're going to be relying on our guests here pretty heavily. So starting off with Mizu, why don't you talk about Buarnek? Yeah,
well, the Elven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll save the truck.
The guy who's wearing Thief Relic but is apparently a Dragoon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that one.
Say the name, screw it.
Yeah, forget
it. Spawns behind Second Banshee Gate in Garage Citadel Shadow Realm at H7. It draws in entire Alliance members when anyone in the Alliance aggroes it.
Yeah, so you can have only one person. I mean, you could sit everyone at the entrance and have one person go find it.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
It appears to have an in-doom effect when it uses Spirit Surge, and it's actually one of the Dragoons that can use Spirit Surge.
So, I don't know, maybe consider bringing some items to get rid of that. What gets rid of doom?
Holy water.
Holy water. Bring some holy water. Thank you.
And curse.
We're white mages.
Low proc.
So yeah, there's that. What else? What else are we going to see?
It casts Thunderbase, Blue Magic, Tier 3 Gust spells, Ancient Magic, and his stun acts as an AoE.
That's cheating.
Whenever you cast magic on him, he instant casts Thunder 4 back at you.
Oh, wow, okay. Mm. That's neat.
I just saw that he does multiple weapon skills in a row. I.e. Pentathrust to Pentathrust.
He also levels up several times during the fight.
Yeah.
Whenever you buff anyone, or you cure them, or get rid of a status effect, or you debuff him, he levels up.
What?
And then if you cast Elemental Magic, only safe one, you get nuked in the face.
Oh my god.
Who was on drugs when they invented this one? My
wow.
God.
All right.
That's ridiculous.
He has
a high Regan effect and also a very massive defense. The only element that would actually work against it is Earth. And the nature of the immunity of the mob is different because any action, you can die at it, you can provoke it, anything will pull hate.
Wow.
Is this guy possible?
Yeah.
What
do you do? Like, I honestly, like,
you actually might not know this, but he's actually the bastard love child of Absolute Virtue and Pandemonium Warden, and when he was born, they then sacrificed him to a blood god, and then he was re-raised as a Fomor, and here we are.
No, but serious question. I mean, like, even just looking at what this mob does, I can't seem to come up with any kind of conceivable strategy. So what do you do to take something like this down?
Here's what we do.
Okay.
Normally we kill the Galaga before we do this, so we're already buffed up and crap from that.
Mm-hmm.
But every black mage that we have come, they sub ninja.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can nuke and eat the nuke.
Ah, that makes sense. All right. Okay.
Paladins come subbing ninja also, and they cast anything to get hate. They'll cast Banish, Cure on it, whatever will get them hate.
So they're just spamming spells to try to desperately keep this thing on them. So for this, is it recommended to have, like, a timed nuke strategy so you kind of know where hate's going to be going at this? Or are people just casting and the paladin is just trying to desperately keep up?
That's what we do, because we just normally go to notorious monster fights with two paladins just to be safe.
Yeah.
So the black mages nuke when they have MP and then rest, and the paladins can keep hate just from, well, spamming.
And the good thing about this is the fact that no matter what you do, it's going to draw hate. You don't have to worry about trying to accumulate massive amounts of hate.
That's
with, like,
point.
Huge things. So you don't need to be like, oh, no, I need to cure five to pull hate. You can just spam whatever you have as quick as you possibly can.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So taking a look at the drops here, you've got things like the Blunt Lance.
That lance kind of sucks, IMO. I mean, I'm not a dragoon, but
but what these are rare X items. They have damage of one. Most of the items that drop. What these items are for is you use them in synergy to craft them into the Aran looking weapons that we saw a bunch of around the time this update came out. So if you're curious about the Aran weapons, that's how you get them. You got to get these rare X weapons to then craft through synergy. So there's that. You've got cobalt ore, an O ingot, I don't
even S ingot,
scintilla ingot.
Yeah, an S ingot, which I think. Is the essing it? What is that?
For doing cursed stuff, it looks like. TOA type stuff.
Gotcha. We've also got the Shrewd Pumps, which are a feat equip. Defense 14, elemental magic plus 4, magic attack bonus plus 3, conserve MP plus 2, and that's a level 74 white mage, black mage, red mage, paladin, dark knight summoner, blue mage, scholar.
What, no ranger?
It's pretty decent equip. Piece, actually.
That's not bad.
Why can't ranger wear that? We need it for our bolts.
Yep, conserve MP. Yep, that's...
Yeah, when we sub black mage...
So that's, and oh, you also get, you can get up to three Wolfram steels. I have no idea what that's used for, but
Wolfram.
They're the synergy exclusive pieces you need.
Oh, really? Okay, and yeah. those are to make. What are those to make? What do you need those?
It's just for every Aran weapon you can make. You need one to three of them.
Okay.
And then you need a Colbert ore. Or Colbat ore.
Colbert
ore.
Freedom ore.
So that takes care of the very complicated Desae Dragoon Elven Fulmor. Hooray. So that moves us to the second in our list, Alatha, which is a Gulka, and which is also where you get the Greatsword. So I'm definitely interested to hear about this one. So Ventus, why don't you tell us about Alatha?
Well, this one have pretty much the same strategy than the Elven. You have Black Mage, Ninja Sub. So because once you get the hate, he just not instant, but pretty fast casting. Blizzard casting, pretty much. He does Banga and what was it? Just Banga.
Okay.
And Blizzard 4 and stuff. So you're pretty much nuking and pray.
Does this guy level up too?
Yes, he does level up.
Yeah, all of them level ups.
Yeah,
have their own kind of level up.
But there is a cap that he hits at some point.
99,
probably.
So when he levels up, does like the little level up thing go over him?
Yeah, how do you know he levels up?
That would be cool.
I think they should.
No, it does. It does.
It does? That's
how you
know. What? That's awesome.
That's really cool. That's cool as hell. Yeah.
That is kind of cool, but kind of stupid at the same time.
It kind of looks like some nerves or anything. Just like level up.
Hey guys, come power level me.
That's pretty much what we're doing.
Change scope off.
My experience combined, yes.
But also like the other Fomors, it also has the drawing ability that, you know, it'll draw your party members from anywhere in the zone as long as one person has hate. Yeah. What else are we looking at, Ventus?
It's spawn place of bombs, so you can have to take care of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to weapon skill you pretty hard.
Yeah, and using
hit hard.
Using a great sword, he does his melee hits hard, and those weapon skills are going to hit hard too.
But not often.
Lol.
Also, it has and paralyze. Ooh, paralyze guy. He does that too.
So, just like all of the other Fomors, the enmity is basically dictated by any action.
Oh, sweet. And
yeah.
He absorbs damage by job abilities.
Wait, how does that? Wait, what?
Absorbs damages dealt by job abilities. Example, shield bash, eagle eye shot. However, takes normal damage from quick draw.
Oh, so
okay.
But apparently not damage. Always.
But
just sometimes.
Whatever he feels like. Let's just go with that.
Sometimes he feels like it. Sometimes he doesn't.
But weapon skills still work, right?
I hope.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think you should. We never melee them because that just feeds TP and it spans Grim Halo already.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, again, as Venta said, very similar to the last fight where you want mages sub Nin.
Okay, here we go. It also will absorb physical combat damage while mid cast or mid weapon skill, but will never absorb fire based elemental magic.
What?
Wow!
That's so random.
It is.
Black mage friends and go have fun.
It kind of sounds
don't
like
bring a monk because they can't attack it, they can't weapon skill it, and they can't chi blast it.
It kind of feels like the developers put a bunch of random status effects in a hat, drew them out, and said, "This is what he can absorb.
Right?
This
yeah.
is what he can't absorb."
Not even just that. It's like they had two things. Like if he does this, then you get this. So one of them put in level up. So it's like, all right, when you cast a spell, he levels up. Okay, let's do it.
Oh, shit.
They stuck it in a hat and drew out two at a time.
That's what it feels like. It really does.
When you melee hit him, well,
it's like one of those write your own story things. Seriously,
yeah. But taking a look at the drops here.
They're not worth it.
honestly, like all of the.
Well, the greatsword.
Yeah, but the greatsword in the end, I mean.
It only has one damage.
Slenderman! God, no! So only a couple of drops coming off of this that are different. You still get the cobalt ore, the S ingot, O ingot, wolf ram steel ingot. The gear, Brichta's cuffs, defense 18, mind plus 5, charisma plus 5, magic accuracy plus 5, enmity minus 2. That's level 74 for white mage, black mage, red mage, bard, summoner, and scholar.
Oh, no melee.
That sounds pretty good for red mage.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
That's not half bad. And then the only other drop is the dull claymore, which is synergized, if you will, into the cool Aran-looking weapon. By the way, all of the Fomors actually wield the weapon that you can synergize the drop into, which is kind of cool to see it. And plus, this this Galka's got really neat armor. Like, the armor that he's equipped with is really cool. I think it's similar to some of the synergy armor that's been coming out. I think the Ebon stuff is, I think, the closest to
Ebon's world. That.
So that takes care of Alatha. And the next one that we're going to take a look at is Ethniu. There we go.
Doesn't seem like it's as bad as the other ones, or people just haven't fought it enough, because it has all the normal things that the other ones do, like the nature of the enmity. It uses weapon skills, which its weapon skill arsenal isn't that bad. Evisceration, that can suck, but LOL, Gust Slash and Cyclone, what a noob.
Lol.
It spam casts crappy, horrible stuff like Iroga 3, Graviga, Silenska, Tornado, Arrow 4, Hecatomb Wave, Zephyr Mantle, yeah, and Frightful War. And uses Perfect Dodge multiple times under 30%. However, though it does use that, and that would obviously make Melee Zerg is really horrible, it still says that it is possible.
Also, it has End Silence.
Yeah, yep, it has End Spell damage and additional effect Silence, so yeah.
Also, it's a ninja, so End Silence, End Silence, End Silence.
And of course, oh, here we go, yeah, it says uses Perfect Dodge, possibly able to reuse every 5 minutes below a certain HP as other NMs in this new class can. And while under the effect of Perfect Dodge, it will triple attack more often than normal. And I'm sure it already has a high triple attack chance.
You know, all these NMs have so many crazy abilities. You'd think, like, some random adventurer would, like, try to study it and learn it. But we don't get this crap.
That's the thing.
Give me your weapon.
If you aggro the NM and then die, the NM pops.
Yeah, that was...
Isn't that what's changed?
Did they fix that? I thought that they had fixed that.
For some. Not for the formers.
Really? I thought it was specifically the Fomors that they had fixed. Yeah. Or was it the NMs that are connected to the armor synergy stuff? The vampire that I can't remember the name of.
Nashville?
It might have been though.
He's in the Nul's Isle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's in the Ruins of Al-Zadal.
But no, I completely forgot. They did change it slightly. It's not aggroing only, you have to do some sort of damage onto it.
Okay, but it still will despawn
if you're party wipe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. But the Mithra is actually the easiest of performers, like they said. If you treat it like King Vigoroam, then you can just chain spell stun it and just burn it to death.
Fair enough. Ventus, do you agree with that strategy? Is that...
No, I'm just saying, it's not really the easy one, just whatever, if you learn whatever thing, you'll die fast. But we tried to do it in a normal way without, you know, soul voice and stuff. It was really hard. Also, right. The goblins around it, it's nasty.
Yeah.
Silenska, Gravidka.
Yeah, I think that there definitely needs to be more information edited in, because looking at the other ones, all the other ones actually say what causes it to level up.
This one does not,
so it definitely seems like it's missing a lot of information in comparison to the other ones. That could be because people just haven't edited in, haven't fought it enough, or it's so easy that, you know, it dies.
It doesn't matter,
quick
reserves.
Yeah.
LOL Mithra.
The drops that you're looking at are the Edgeless Knife, of course, that's synergized
into the Machismo.
There's a leg set that comes off of it that's the Bahram's Cuirasses. And the defense, 36, strength plus 5, accuracy plus 12, evasion minus 4, and slow plus 10%. Good weapon skill legs. That's one strength above Dark Knight JSE, which is great. Plus you got the accuracy on there, that's also great. It's one strength below the Ares legs, so yeah. it's right in the middle. It is a very, very good weapon skill piece, so good stuff there. Which that takes care of that, and we'll move on to the Taru Fomor that is also spawned in the Aldim Necropolis.
And stupid.
Necropolis.
Tethra.
How about Mizu, why don't you talk about this one?
Spawns around K-12 on map 2. You have to go like you were going, you know, in the present for the Sandy mission, you have to go to the island of Batilla Downs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go like you're going that way.
Okay.
But he's down in an area with the new Dingens. You have to clear those out before you can start killing.
Yep. It's,
yeah.
I think, isn't it better if you just got them single you kill it.
Until they wake up and face rape you?
No. You'll have, you know, countdown the sleep gun effect. May have like several black mage scholar to sleep in.
Here's my favorite part of this thing, this NM. Listen to this. When casting Quake, it is possible that it will become an AoE. There is no change in the spell name.
Oh, no!
That's horrible!
Ether is nasty.
I'm getting drawn from a hat.
Also, and Sloga. And Slow.
Ooh. That's horrible.
Will absorb...
Magic cast on it.
Yeah, while casting.
Holy boat.
So while casting, it's immune to physical and absorbs magic.
Doesn't count in these.
Everybody run out of range.
Sounds like it was conceived at some random
run back.
Party.
It
everyone
retaliates with Stoneforge and the nukes, but we don't nuke it because it can get healed.
Mm-hmm.
We just use Ranger Burn, Arrow Burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's
levels up from job abilities.
Yep.
Wow. So.
So Rangers.
So Rangers. That's like the only conceivable.
Not
thing here?
Holy bolts because those heal him.
So
dumb.
Don't bring holy boats. Boats.
Holy boats. The boats made. Maybe the boats can shoot missiles.
Yeah, and also the summoner's assault. So you know, being like, hey, you attack it counts as a job ability. So those are out.
It levels up.
Like you, go ahead.
Yeah, not only does it level up, but it also retaliates when any job ability is used on it. So it levels up, then retaliates.
So feasibly, Ranger Burn is really the only way that this can be done?
Yep, apparently.
Basically, yeah.
All right.
Attacks have additional effect, petrification.
Fair enough. So, besides the cracked staff that you'll see out of here... you've also got the Bloodbead Gorget, which is HP plus 60, level 70 all jobs.
Good for Dark Zerging. Very good for Dark Knight Zerging.
Fair enough. Yeah, because you want to cap your HP before popping Soul Eater. So, but that's it. That's just that 60 HP. That's all you get.
I guess that's good if you're like me and you want to try and get your HP over 2.5. Other than that, yeah.
Which brings us to our last Fomor, which is Lug.
It's pronounced Lou, actually, modern Irish.
Uh-huh. So Ventus, why don't you tell us about Lou?
Oh, Lug. I don't like this one. This is Blue Mage, Black Mage, dude. This a crawler in S, Shadow Ring. He likes to level up on blue magic spells, which he likes to spam. And
so
he's... Yeah, is after he does the blue magic. So you probably have a couple black mage done every blue magic he does. And he's fire based, so he uses all the fire based spells as well. He likes to do the very weapon skill, probably, so he can 5 rape you. He's not that hard if you keep him under control with the level up. But if he started leveling up like a bastard, it'll be hard.
So are you trying to stun his blue magic if he levels up after he uses blue magic?
Yeah, you want to stop all the blue magic spells he tries to do.
Gotcha.
And also the Aegis, you know, for Aga.
Right, yeah.
He also has the End Plague.
Fun.
Yeah, fun.
End Plague. That's great. No, it's not. Yeah. So the weapon is the Chipped Scimitar, and there's a feat equip that comes out of here, which is Defense 19, Strength plus 3, Dex plus 3, Accuracy plus 3, Evasion plus 3, and Haste plus 2%. So, and that's
lettuce.
Yep, and that's level 74 Monk, Thief, Ranger, Blue Mage, Corsair, Pup, and Dancer. So, any good?
Yeah, they're all right, except, you know, doing Omega weapons can be a lot easier.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
Actually, they look good for Blue Mage. Diversification, whatever.
That's a good point, because Blue Mage doesn't get access to Homeland.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah, because Akeem always runs around with Blue wearing freaking Homeland and Nashira, because Blue Mage gets freaking both of them.
No, wait, but this disbursement has the strength and dexterity modifier, so... You want those.
Oh, yeah, you want them for different reasons, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, that
maybe
makes sense.
For casting, but that's only if it's a dex mod.
No, I use it for, swapping.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Gear swap.
Oh, okay, sure.
So that's it for Lou, which means that's it for the Fulmors.
So that's it. There's not some big, once you kill them all, an even bigger one will come down. Nothing like that.
No.
All right.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Fulmor and Dynamis War.
There you go. Maybe they'll shove a Fulmor up in Castles of All Baileys or something.
Absorbs everything.
Yeah,
absorbs
right.
Absorbs everything, levels up every time you move. Every step you level.
Jeez. All right, well, we've got two more fights to talk about before we wrap it up here. Don't know if we're going to have time for emails or not, but why don't we talk about Sandworm? Now, there were two... I guess there are technically what are considered two HNMs that are in Wings of the Goddess, mm-hmm. right? And and that would be Sandworm and Dark Ixion. Now, Sandworm is a very unique fight because it's like an HNM, it's got a very long spawn time. You've got to wait for it to pop and you've got to claim it. But it spawns in multiple areas, and the point of fighting it is not to kill it. You don't want to kill it. That would be bad. You want it to use Doom Void.
Yep, and the areas that it spawns in is going to be Mirfatad Mountains, and these are all in Shadow Realm. Mirfatad Mountains, the Saramange Champagne, West Saruta Baruta, North Gustaburg, Rollingberry Fields, Battalia Downs, and East Ronfair.
Yep. Now, depending on where it's spawned and fought, you'll end up when you what Doom? Okay, let me try to explain Doom Void first of all. Doom Void is a move that the Sandworm uses, and when it uses it, you get transported into
a new battle.
Yeah, like a BC area.
Yes.
And when you're there, you fight one of four different types of mobs. If you are sucked in using Doom Void in Mirfatad Mountains, Saruman Champagne, and West Saruta Baruta, you get to fight Circuit. If it's in North Gustaburg or Rollingberry Fields, then it's Gwaivir. If it's Battalia Downs or East Ronfair, then you're fighting King Arthur.
Very, very buffed versions of them.
Yes, very buffed versions of them. And instead of any of these spawning, you could get the Lambton Worm, which is the bigger version of
HQ Worm.
Of the Sandworm, correct. So starting with Circuit, why don't we talk about each one of these fights? Why don't we start off talking about fighting Sandworm itself when it's up and just running around one of the areas? What are you going to be looking to do to try to encourage Doom Void?
Well, first off, to find it, a little trick with wide scan, it's always going to be at the bottom, but it's going to be just above campaign battle NPCs.
Hmm.
So
gotcha.
Both of them.
Okay. When you claim it, pretty much just fight it how you normally would. Just take two paladins, but you're also going to take black mages for the most part, depending on the zone.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably a pretty good chance if you're camping this that your LS is spread out amongst multiple zones.
Right,
so be prepared to kite it for a little bit, or
at least
hold
just
it.
Straight tank it and don't do too much damage till everyone's in the area.
That too. Mm-hmm. That too.
For huge NM link shells, you have scanners in different zones, and you normally have them as ranger for Shadowbind so they can get some distance, or Beastmaster, they can just throw their jug pet at it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have a paladin on standby, so they're going to be there quick.
Yeah, and another good strategy is if you have enough people looking to have a actual tank party waiting at the warp NPC.
There you
go.
So
you have a paladin, white mage, red mage, bard, etc. And so as soon as it's up and claimed, you can instantly warp and have it under control.
Yep.
There you go.
First, fighting Sandworm. Again, just treat it like normal mob, but it uses a few TP moves that get kind of annoying, especially if you're a scholar and you get hit by one.
Fair enough.
One of them is Extreme Purgation. Wait, I said that wrong.
Extreme Purgation.
That's all right.
That's it. Okay. It drains all buffs and debuffs.
Ooh.
So, also, if for some reason you're still on Beastmaster and uses that, it decharms all pets, and if it's a jug pet, it despawns it.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You have to dispel everything off it.
Ugh.
It has one move that it consumes all job abilities, including 2 hours.
Yeah, which
in
sucks.
A small cone around
sucked
the person.
In and then you don't have your abilities.
By consume, do you mean it resets the timers?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
2 hour will be on 2 hours.
Damn! Wow, that's rough.
It has a Dust Void, which removes all equipment from a single target.
At least it's not AoE. Could be worse.
Here's the AoE one. AoE on Void with Blind and Silence, and it goes through shadows.
That's fun.
Then it has a Sarvelous Gale, a major cone-shaped attack that occasionally causes Plague and Slow, which will override Haste. And it does about 800 or higher. And Doom Void, the last DP move, only used mainly under 25%. You just cast Stone on it, defeat it TP.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Just keep spamming Stone. You'll get sucked in. You have to be 25 feet within distance.
Yeah, and it only sucks in one party. So if you bring in an alliance thinking that you're going to be able to use 12 people to take
no,
down...
No, it says right here teleports all alliance members within 25.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was just a party.
It's your whole alliance.
Oh, my bad.
You just have to be within that 25 feet.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It used to glitch out and would like randomly not suck in one person.
Gotcha.
That sucked when it didn't suck in your tank.
Need to be on the haste list of San Juan.
You need to be on the hate list to be able to get sucked in.
So you have to have done something.
So, don't just stand back and watch. Do something. So, okay. And now let's talk about the individual fights that we're going to see inside, once you get inside the Doom Void, because that's really where all the good stuff takes place.
You want to hear an interesting, disappointing tidbit about Doom Void real quick?
Sure.
Thanks to Moblin Maze Mongers, all the zones in the past that you would get sent to are used up for EXP or events.
Mm-hmm.
So if it uses Doom Void and, let's say, Batilla Downs, but the zone is full with people doing Moblin Maze Mongers, you don't get sucked in.
What?
Really?
It doesn't suck you in. We called the GM about it. They cannot do anything about it.
It's kind of like how sometimes, you know, during...
Nizul.
During Besiege, you can't go in, like, once it reaches a certain cap. Like, you try to go in, it just kicks you right back out. That'll happen with Doom Void.
I've never seen that happen.
So. That's lame.
Me neither.
Wow. Yeah, with server populations where they are, you shouldn't run into that too often. That probably happened when Moblin Maze Mongers first came out, because it was pretty flooded. But if you get sucked in using Doom Void in Amerifatad Mountains, Saramah Champagne, or West Saruta Baruta, you're going to be fighting Circuit. And that's in Goyu's Reverie. So why don't we talk about the Circuit fight? How is it different from the normal Circuit, first of all?
It sucks.
other than it sucks.
Its in poison effect increases as its HP goes down to like 200 HP a tick.
Wow.
He hurts bad.
Yeah?
It's constantly you need to run out, let your healers heal you, before you run back in.
He has Binga.
Binga.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 30 Joms farm area. It's pretty big.
So you've got 60 minutes to do this fight. Is that enough? Do you think that's enough?
Yeah.
That's plenty of time.
All right, fair enough.
He just sucks.
Fair enough. So, all right. Well, what do you guys recommend for taking something like this down? Like, let's talk about strategy.
We just do Black Mage Burn. Have the two paladins just keep hate on them, and all the Black Mages nuke Circuit. Don't really do time nuke, just free nuke, and also stun when needed.
Fair enough. What's being stunned?
We're just trying to stun. In case a paladin's shadows are down and they just got hit by a critical bite.
Yeah.
Because we've had Aegis paladins get one-shotted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Thanks to Garbiaga and Binga, so you have to take two things before you can run from it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what do we talk... Let's talk about drops here. All right, because
amazing drops.
Yeah, the drops are freaking incredible. I mean, really, they are. That's not
other than the fact that it drops all the stuff that circuit normally drops in the old world. It also drops the white Tathlum, which goes into your ammo slot, HP and MP +15, store TP +2, and the -2, and the big super awesome one is the Antares Harness, which is HP plus 15, Dexterity and Agility and Accuracy and Evasion all plus 8.
Awesome for a dancer.
Awesome. Yeah, because you guys can't wear.
And then you can get the circuit ring.
Scotty so. Body.
Yeah, and you can't wear.
And you can't, as Kahlo said, you can't get a circuit ring too. Or no, as Vicky said, you can get a circuit ring too, but Kahlo mentioned that all of the drops are
circuit
the same.
Ring, shield, triple dagger, venomous claw, and some vial elixir, high re-razor.
Yep. Which moves us next to Gwyvir. That's, once again, if Sandworm uses Doomvoid in Gustaberg or Rolandberry Fields, you will be sucked into the Ruhot silver mines. And
the skin mines of the past.
Yep, pretty much. That is, you're going to be tossed into there. Spawns around I-9, I-10. Are you generally put, like, plopped fairly near where the NM spawns?
Yeah, you're like down a tunnel. You just run down the tunnel and there he is.
Okay, because yeah, I know that Ruhots is actually a kind of a bigger map than you would think going into a BC area. So what are we going to be expecting when fighting Gwyvir?
Don't aggro it if you're a mage.
Yeah.
Because my first time ever doing this one, I just opened up map to look at the map and then it's right there, turns around, Bane rushes, one-shots me.
Ouch.
Does he always Bane Rush when he aggroes? I think he does.
Normally, yes, I think so. After it loses a certain amount of HP, it will run away. You have to go chase it down, and it'll grieve Bane Rush you again. So you want to make sure the tanks are the first ones to aggro it.
Yeah, it runs away like every, 20% or something like that? 15?
I think it's
10%.
10%. Yeah. So basically, it's easier to run the opposite direction as him because he runs a long ways, and so you can intersect him going the opposite direction. It's usually a lot faster.
Well, it also says, too, that he runs about halfway around, and then he will stop at some point and then go back to acting normal, so.
Yeah, we usually just run the opposite way. It's faster, usually.
Yeah.
Right on. He's also got a high rate of double attack.
Although it says right here that it actually depends on how you start the encounter. If he's hit with any melee attack initially instead of being aggroed, then his rate of double attack is drastically reduced. Whereas if you pull him with magic or gets aggroed like normal, then he has high double attack rate.
He's the easiest of the three, though, I will say.
Yeah.
He doesn't hard, have as many hard AoEs, and I mean, you just beat him down and chase him around.
Fair enough. So just, yeah, run after him when he runs away and just keep cracking at him.
Yep.
Fair enough. Got some pretty good drops here, including, of course, the Gwyvir skull, which I think is crafted into the Wyvern Helm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've also got the Black Tathalum, which is it goes in your ammo slot. It's dex plus 1, accuracy plus 4, and attack plus 4. Not a bad alternative to something like a bomb core. And you've also got the Zahawk's Mail, which I have been drooling over for friggin' ever, which is strength plus 10, dex plus 10, evasion minus 20, and critical hit rate plus 3. It's a good alternative if you don't have something like an end body. It's a great, great weapon skill piece. Not something that I would full-time, though, unless I needed to, you know...
die quick.
Yeah,
die.
Get hit a lot. that's pretty much it.
And the nice thing about the Tathlums is monks can equip them, which we can't equip a lot of the range slot items.
Oh.
And yeah, that's very true. They're very good for monk.
Something to keep in mind there. Cool. That's Gwyvir. So our last one is King Arthro. And that's that you encounter King Arthro if Sandworm uses Doomvoin in Battilia Downs or East Ronfair. Let's talk about King Arthro.
King Arthro's have, same abilities than the last one. The thing is, this one pops Demi Crabs, but, like, if you're a black mage and you still hate, it will pop one right at you. So you're going to have Melis killing all the crabs, all the babies.
And those are night crabs that pop, and when they pop, they're going to start using Tier 4 water spells, but they're not going to be casting them on you necessarily, they're going to be casting them on King Arthro, which heals him.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Oh boy!
Another thing, the only way to damage him is with Magic Burst.
Yep.
Yeah, because you can...
Otherwise, all melee hits will do one damage, weapon skills will do one damage, skill chains will do one damage.
But nukes, when Magic Burst, they do 75 to 100% damage.
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay. That's good to know.
Taking like two
burst now.
Taking like two samurai and like 10 black mages and go at it. Build TP on the night crabs and have fun.
Fair enough. Yeah, there
we'll
you
teach you to ignore our magic bursts.
Yeah, that's Essie's failed attempt to try to get magic bursts back in this game.
And he
I'm
does he does
work. Well, you have to use magic bursts.
At least in end game.
Kind of forced to use them.
Yeah, I guess you're forced to.
Also, you can pick up Starwell's Night Crab, so you better take care of that.
Yeah, Black Mages do need to
fire you.
Because they're if you don't kill them quick enough, you'll have 5 up, and they're really hard to handle.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind that water-based spells cure King Arthro, but distortion is not proven to heal him. But just, you know, don't magic burst that one, I guess. Try not to do distortion. Guys.
We just do, like, fragmentation or light, so you magic burst lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easiest.
There you go. And that is King Arthro. Now let's talk about Lambton Worm.
Hold on. King Arthro is dropped.
Oh, yeah. Right. Sorry.
First one is the Avalon Breastplate, which gives Vitality, Mind and Charisma +7, Accuracy +13, Enmity +3, and Magic Damage taken -5%. And that can be worn by Monk, Thief, Paladin, Beast, Bard, Ranger, Sam, Pup, and Dancer. And then you also have the Avalon Shield, which is Defense 15, Magic Attack Bonus +5, Enmity +5, and Damage Taken +10%.
You can also get a Speed Belt.
Yes, or the Velocious
Belt. And, of course, his old drops. Yep.
Velocious Belt, which is probably easier to get this way than actually camping KA himself.
Yeah.
All right, and that brings us, to Lambton Worm, who can pop instead of any of these guys.
Yeah, but it works kind of like if you're camping like Fafnir and every 3 or 4 days then it has a chance to spawn the HQ. It's kind of like that. If it spawned, like if the HQ spawned the day before, it won't spawn the next day.
Gotcha. All right. So now, how different is Lambton Worm from the Sandworm?
If you damage him at all outside of an animation of Doom Void, it'll heal him for about 10 times worth.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What you gotta do is you wait for it to use Doom Void animation. Everyone on the hate list is then drawn into that point, and then you can get off an arrow 4 and a 3, maybe an arrow 2, but just 2 nukes is safe. That's the best way to damage him.
Wow.
Yeah, it says that a nuke which would normally do 1,000 damage was seen to heal for nearly 20,000 damage following the shield.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. So, I mean, but how often does it use the Doom Void animation? Is it something that it gets real spammy with?
It gives you
a lot of opportunities to damage him, or is it still stingy with Doom Void, kind of like the Sandworm is?
No, it actually does it every 3 or 5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, on here it says drawn is approximately every minute 45 to 2 minutes, but can be used as early as 1 minute and as late as 2 minutes 15 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice that you have one person who's kind of dedicated to just watching the Doom Void, and they're like, go, stop. And that way, you know, everyone doesn't have to pay as close attention, because it's kind of hard to notice, especially if you lag like me and have to turn effects off. So
like a cheerleader captain?
Yeah, go. Kind of. No, yeah, he's just kind of like, all right, go, all right, stop. You know, so that's pretty much how we did it all the time. Makes it easy.
Fair
There's
enough.
A fun way I heard about doing this with a Dark Knight and 3 paladins.
Oh, yeah?
I'm listening.
All right. What you do is you have 2 of the paladins tank Sandworm outside. You have the 3rd paladin stay far away so its job abilities can't get reset or anything. What you then do is when you get sucked in and it's Lambton Worm, you have the 2 paladins go up and have the 3rd paladin on standby. Same with the Dark Knight. Except the Dark Knight, after about a minute or so when they're feeding TP, you run up, the Dark Knight pops Soul Eater, and if it absorbs Soul Eater, the 3rd paladin comes in, flashes, gets hate, uses 2-hour, and it Soul Eaters itself to death.
Yeah. That same strategy is used on the Mulboro boss in Einherjar. I think we talked about this on our Einherjar weapon or episode, where if a Dark Knight runs in with Soul Eater up and uses the vampiric tentacle things and draws it off, after like 2 or 3 hits, it kills itself.
Wow. That's incredible. All right, cool. Well, there's an alternate strategy if I don't know.
I've never
you
can tried pull it that. Off. That would be
It's just, but then you risk having three paladins, and then you get something like KA, and you have extra paladins you don't need, and...
Yeah.
You can switch to your DD set. Switch to your DD set.
So maybe that's something good to rely on if Lance and Worm hasn't spawned in a few days. But.
Yeah, also, you don't know, really, you're going to get Landworm or the other, so...
Right, yeah, that's...
Maybe let's have that kind of setup.
Yeah.
Yep, as far as his drops go, he actually drops the crafting materials that all three of the other NMs drop.
That's right, the D-Cloth, the Gwyver Skull, and the Venomous Claw. Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, some of these things are kind of, the Lambda Worms drops are kind of, the other ones are pretty good. Like, I mean, the Ancient Torque, it's not quite a love torque, but, you know, it's still really good. It's Dex plus 4, Accuracy plus 9, and unlike the love torque, all drops can wear the love torque too, can't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so yeah, all drops can wear it. You have the Fraggle Rock. Which is a sword used by warriors, paladins, darks, and blues. You have MP 20, accuracy 4, and magic accuracy plus 20. Your damage as that is 44, and your delay is 240. I don't know how...
No, the magic accuracy is plus 2.
Yeah, it's plus 2, and then the damage is 44, and the delay is 240. I don't know how good that is as far as swords go, so...
No idea. Seems like a lot of effort to get that thing.
Yeah, you have the Morgana's Code of Hardane. This is kind of like, what? Because it has magic attack bonus plus 8, which is great. MP 25, enmity negative 3, but then it also has magic accuracy negative 8.
Boo?
That is pretty boo.
Like, all my power and I'm used.
Yeah, that's like saying, hey, here's attack, you know, plus 20, but accuracy negative 20.
Right, I mean, at least with Zoxmail, you're taking a hit on evasion, but that's not something that DDs necessarily need.
You have the Oily Trousers, which is plus 5 to Dex, Agility, Accuracy, and Ranged Accuracy, and decreases movement speed. So those are alright.
He stole those pants from Oily Cheeks.
He did. And Oily Cheeks is pissed. Now we know which cheeks are oily.
Oh, jeez. Alright, well, that brings us to the last portion of our show, which is Dark Ixion, something that I have spent zero time with.
It's fun.
It is fun to die from it.
So let's talk about Dark Ixion. The first thing that if anyone encountered this right after the update where it was introduced, thing runs away, like, whenever you try to attack it. Like, you know, it just kind of runs off and goes to a different zone.
And doesn't have an HP bar.
That's true. So, let's talk about Dark Ixion. First of all, how the hell do you get to fight it?
You have to farm a Stygian Ash from the fairies in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, it pops, you know, Battalion Downs, Isram Fair, or Karuga Naruga. Grubber, Jupiter Forest, Roundberry Fields, West Servitor, Baruda.
Yeah, it spawns, like Sandworm, it spawns in a bunch of different zones. But it's also kind of unique in that it can run from one zone to another.
Yeah, different from Sandworm is Sandworm can pop around all the zones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this one has specifically spots where it can pop. So the thing you want, how you're gonna claim it is you white scan in, run to him, but not let him see you, because if he does, he runs by, says bye, and have to wait till it pop.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pop through campaign, so after you find it, you throw the Stygian Ash with Ranger. I think Ranger?
Anything with throwing.
Yeah.
It has throwing.
But you have to hit him.
Yeah, you have to actually.
That's the thing.
I can hit him.
That's the thing. Well, you've got to be able to throw the Stygian Ash and be able to hit it.
Yeah.
Because if it misses, he's just going to take off.
And then if you hit him, he's
no,
just
no. Gonna actually, if you miss and he didn't notice, he will stay by. So probably the Ranger use unlimited shot and throw it. If you miss, you try again and hope that you don't miss again.
So unlimited shot does work for the Stygian Ash.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
Which I experienced by bad. I throw it one. My link shot was like, throw again. Like, okay, you don't have any ammo. I'm like, oh crap.
Oh.
Ooh. And then it runs by.
That sucks. He does. He has a very increased natural movement speed, 75%, but he runs away at 350% speed.
Yeah, he runs away and warps to another zone.
Yeah.
Is it fleeing speed?
No, it's much
it's way it's above just, flea just, speed.
Like, it's not impossible.
Three and
it's
a half times faster
he
than
he pretty
speed.
Much turns around and is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he won't spawn in any zone currently in a campaign. So if he runs away, you have to redistribute all of your people out to another zone. If he's not in one, he's going to spawn in a campaign zone. So you have to sit around and wait, and that could take an hour. It's very frustrating. But, I mean, you can slowly eliminate zones, like, as campaigns end, and you can narrow down where he's going to spawn. But it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Also, it just, I think it's never popped from the area it popped before.
No, so that's not true. I've seen it. Spawn in the same area. Yep.
That sucks.
Oh. Yeah, it does.
All right, so let's talk about the fight. You throw the Stygian Ash, you hit it, hopefully, and now it's attacking. It's attacking.
Shadow by, run for your life, and pray a paladin gets there soon. Oh, and you go ninja, so if you do, it does catch up, you have some chance of survival.
Gotcha. Oh,
no. Have a group on standby.
I go by Ranger Thief and just flee the hell out of him. Just run.
Fair enough. So, what about it is, like, what specifically does Dark Ixion do that's so devastating?
Well, he's got quite a few TP moves. There's one called Lightning Spear, which is frontal cone AoE, which can do above 1k if you don't have shell. Or and it also causes amnesia for about 2 minutes.
He can also one-shoot me, yes.
Yeah, he can pretty much one-shot a lot of people if you don't have buffs on.
Wow.
Now, the cone attack is pretty wide. It's open out really, really big. So it's like a following missile. So you're like, oh, I'm going to run. And then just hit you, and you're by this eye.
It's
one of his TP moves that it can target anyone in the alliance that has hate on him. It just targets a random person, and then uses it.
Oh, that's fun.
But best way to avoid it is you have the mages on an elevated level, because none of the AoE moves will hit you if you're higher up.
Hmm. Okay.
Good for the mages. You can like trace you down in jackpot and kill like 5 rangers.
Take that, rangers. Teach you to use mind.
You know, that's really weird considering that Ixion is a lightning thing. Because being higher up is bad in lightning storms.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
It's like that with most NMs with AoEs. If you're on a higher level, they won't hit you.
Also, the lightning spear can hit whoever it's on their way. So even if you're not in the alliance, it can kill you. I remember the first time. I remember when it was new, and people were like, oh, what's that? And
people still do that. Like, oh, what is this pretty thing? Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah, there's a couple other smaller general things, too, is that normal melee attacks seem to be generally weaker on him. I think that also depends on where you stand. Like, being in front of him does less damage than being behind him. The attacks...
Till it's at turn, kick you in the face.
Yep. If you pull hate from behind, or if it just wants to turn around and kick you in the face, it's going to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Horn attacks also have an end bind, and his feet attacks have an end gravity effect.
If a paladin gets hit, you have to erase them instantly so they can run away. Otherwise, you're going to have the paladin dead, and then you're going to have to go shadow bind cycles until the paladin's unweakened.
This sounds like a very rough fight. About how many people would you recommend taking to something like this?
18.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You can actually do
15,
it less.
15 maybe.
Like, my link shield's done a 7 mana Cerberus, but we don't screw around with Dark Ixion because he's just too kind of random.
Yeah, that does seem fairly random and fairly devastating. So, all right, well, keep your mages up on an elevated platform, and, yeah.
He also has an aura if his horn hasn't been broken, which I think that's what it... No, he just always has his aura, right?
He gets the aura randomly through the battle. Intervals.
Yep. So if he starts emitting purple and orange sparks, that means his aura is up. So TP moves, including his charge-based attacks, can be done twice in succession, and there will be no message for this.
Yeah.
Effect.
But what you can
also he has the trample TP move. They just run by and push you to death. I remember my paladin is just aiming for random people.
He turns around and just charges whenever he feels like it. So basically, when you see him turn around, move to the side or else you will die.
Basically. And when his HP gets low, he can do that up to 3 times.
Yeah.
He also has a healing move, now that you mention it, for his HP. That it also removes every debuff, but it heals 5% HP back.
Right. Now, did someone say earlier, and I can't remember, does this have an HP bar? A visible
HP
bar?
It does not. It does, but you can't see it.
If you break it, you can break its horn by doing critical damage from the front, and that's very difficult, but if you break its horn, its HP bar will show up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But nobody really bothers to do that because damage is so reduced from the front, it's not worth it.
Yeah. You could, in theory, if you have a warrior pop mighty strikes, just have him hit once or twice from the front and then move to the behind. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there you go. That's how you see its HP bar. That tough fight, man. That sounds just like a very, very, very tough one.
Although I want to note that it is, if you do have a very skilled paladin, I know the paladin in my LS was pretty good at this, if they are on top of their game, you can outrun almost all of those frontal moves. Like, our paladin would just run to the side and he wouldn't get touched by anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really difficult to pull off, but it is possible.
You do get animations, like, if it's going to use Wrath of Zeus or if it's going to use Lightning Spear,
it doesn't charge up.
Yeah, it charges up on his horn and his body, so that's a hint for you to run. If it turns, it's going to use Lightning Spear most of the time. If it's Wrath of Zeus, you can run out of range fast enough.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's pretty much, I mean, is that everything that we have to say in Dark Ixion? I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, just his dropped next, which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with.
Yeah, these drops are fairly epic.
Yep, you have...
It's worth it.
Yep, you have the Azoth, which is a level 74 dagger usable by thieves and dancers. Definitely better for dancers than it is for thieves, since we have a lot of other options. But it has agility plus 4, accuracy plus 4, and evasion plus 4. That's with a damage of 35 and a delay of 210. You have the Ixion Cloak, which it's actually a full body like cloak, so you can't have headgear on.
You can't have headgear, yeah.
But it has Int 13, Mind 13, Charisma 13, Magic Accuracy plus 5, and adds Regen and Refresh. Level 74, usable by White Mage, Black Mage, Red Mage, Bard, Summoner Blue, Puppet Master, and Scholar.
The Regen and Refresh is 1 HP or MP a tick, by the way.
And then you have the awesome Ixion Cape, which it gives -5 to Strength, Dex, Vitality, and Agility, but +5 to Intelligence, Mind, Charisma, converts 20 HP to MP, and has -2 Enmity. That is for level 74 White Mage, Black Mage, Red Mage, and Summoner.
No, Red Mage can't use it. It's Bard.
Bard.
Oh, Bard. Sorry. Bard. Roll Bard. And then the Dark Ixion Horn can be crafted into an item. Like, I just looked it up. It's kind of stupid. You first craft the horn into an item, and then you craft that item into a polearm, which is called the Dabo, which is usable by level 75 Warrior, Paladin, Samurai, and Dragoons. It has Accuracy 10, Evasion 10, Subtle Blow plus 5, and additional effect Lightning Damage.
Never seen anyone use that.
Yeah, me neither.
And then the tail can be turned also into the Dabo or into the Hermes sandals.
Which is...
Hermes sandals are hot.
Yeah, they HP 12, evasion 5, enmity 3, and movement speed plus 12%, usable by warrior, monk, corsair, and puppet masters.
So there you go. That's Dark Ixion right there. And that'll bring us actually to the end of the episode. Ventus and Mizuharu, I want to thank you for joining us and talking about Wings of the Goddess.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was really great to have you guys in and to pick your brains on the expertise.
Let's do it again.
Except let's not do the same show again.
That'd be a little redundant.
If you do a V&M one, I'll hit you up on that.
Me too.
That tier 4 dragon's hot.
No, the venison notorious monsters.
No, Vicky's notorious monsters.
No, you don't
Ventus see notorious monsters.
Oh,
yeah,
very good. Notorious
Ventus and Vicky.
Venison.
So that takes care of our Wings of the Goddess discussion, and which moves us into emails. We didn't have too many emails from our last show. So I encourage everyone, send in hosts at limitbreakradio.com for email, and we'll be sure to read it on the show. But for the Flash contest today, I had people send in emails about their why they're excited for level 99 that's coming at some point. So I'm going to read a couple of
Juxta should read the first one here.
I want to apologize to some of these people because I realized that a couple of these emails were sent in after we had started recording and I did not get them their appropriate prize.
Fail not.
I guess when the Flash contest happens for episode 53, just let me know that you sent in one of these emails and didn't get to listen. So here's Defender X's level 99 excitement. Juxta, I guess you were volunteered to read this.
From Defender X level 99 excitement. I ain't wait for the level 99. It's gonna be whole new gay. This is the biggest thing since, well, launch Hemo. I would love to see the level 99 ballista matches.
Ellison, do I have permission to smack?
And what the new bandwagon jobs will be. Carrot. Defender X Eka Nimbuash.
Nimbus Yosh.
There's both scripts. Okay. All right.
Here, Juxta, here. A golden star.
I know how you feel about Trial of the Magian now.
That's enough. That's enough, Juxta. Thank you.
He sounds like a speaking spell.
He does kind of. He does. All right. This one is from Volkai. Says I'm extremely excited for level 99. It's going to demolish our known order of who can and cannot do what. And while the new order may turn out similar, there's no way it will end up exactly the same. Who could have foreseen in the days of the level 55 cap that sub-ninja would be the predominant sub-job at 75? I think we'll see some similar surprises at level 99. Thank you, Volkai. And I apologize for not getting you in here to listen to the show. So, and our final email.
Hey LBR, I'm actually quite excited about level 99. I've been away from FFXI for just over 6 months now, and this is just the thing to bring me back in. The most intriguing aspect of level 99, in my opinion, is all the new sub-job opportunities that will be available. I wouldn't be surprised if sub-jobs that used to be useless are actually great now. Maybe we will see some more slash pup? Who knows?
Where's is the stream going down?
Anyway, I just saw the post on Facebook and was hoping there was a spot left. Thanks. Live Love Burndy of Leviathan.
Well, we apologize that we couldn't get you in for this episode. We'll definitely make sure to make that up to you at some point in the future. But I'm pretty sure that takes care of most everything from us here at Limit Break Radio. Remember, we've got a lot of social networking tools to utilize: Facebook, Twitter, Steam, Xfire. Check all of those out. We got groups on all of them. Send us email, hosts@limitbreakradio.com. We've also got our Voices of Von Adil segment that we do during the show. You can leave voicemails on our Skype mailbox at the Skype name is Limit Break Radio. That's pretty much it for us here at Limit Break Radio. One thing that, again, I do want to talk about, I want to go back to you real quick before we take off here. This is not the end of Limit Break Radio. I don't want anyone to say, oh, Limit Break Radio guys are quitting, they're done. No, we're not. We're not doing any of that. We've just got some some big changes to kind of get through here in you know, the next couple of months. It is definitely going to change the show, and you know, in ways that we cannot foresee and we can't possibly even begin to mention, because I mean, there's just no way to figure out how this is all going to end up settling out. So I really want to spend a moment and reassure all the fans that have, you know, been with us since, you know, episode one or episode three or whatever, that we're not going anywhere. We really aren't. We're still going to continue doing Limit Break Radio when we can. It's just, you know, we've got other obligations that we have to fill first. And, you know, I hope that everyone out there listening understands. It's, you know, like I said, this project has been going on for 4 years, almost 4 years in August. That is an incredibly, incredibly long time. And really, I mean, I just wanted to take a moment and thank the fans for all of their, you know, for all of their ears and their time spent listening to the show. You know, we definitely appreciate it. We really love the fact that you guys are listening. We want to thank all of the Star Breakers for their support and everything that they've done for us over the years. Like I said, this is not a goodbye. We're just going to see which way that this takes us. We're going to try to, you know, just go with the flow, see what happens. So, but once again, thank all of you. Thank all of you for participating in Limit Break Radio for these past 4 years. It's been absolutely incredible. So, anyone want to add anything?
I'm not really good at these kinds of things, so that'll do, Pig.
Shoutouts.
That'll do.
I'm not pretty good at it either, but I will say thank you, and thank you for welcoming me onto the show. I feel very welcome among the community, so thank you all for staying, listening, and being very supportive.
Great. I am perfect at these things, and you guys are all welcome for my presence.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, again, thank you guys for hanging out. Thank you to all of the hosts for giving your time to this project. As you guys have, you know, donated a significant amount of time out of, I mean, hell, this was like 4.5 hours right here, but, you know, given a lot of time and a lot of effort to the show. And so, you know, I just want to thank all of you in case, you know, we don't have this kind of lineup again. Foreseeably, a lot of things could change. So, but that's really where we are. But it's okay, because it'll be cool. We'll make it. We'll be there. Limit Break Radio will be around for a long time to come. So, shout outs, Ventus, Mizu. If you guys want to give any shout outs, go for it.
Sure. Yeah, I have shout outs for X the Joker, X, also Kuhali, and Ironka. That's it. And myself.
Shout out to me. Mizu, how about you?
I want to give out a shout out to my link shell on Empire. They're the reason why I can do all the things I do right now. And my friends back on Silith. I will see you guys at ASIN this year.
Hey, you're going to ASIN?
Yeah, me too. I'm going to ASIN. Oh. I'm going as Excalibur from Soul Eater.
Oh, badass. I'm going to be Liz.
You're going as a sword?
Yes, you have to meet up with our Soul Eater group.
No, as an S word.
You have to meet up with our Soul Eater group.
All right, I'll talk.
Soul okay.
That's weird.
That's exciting.
Well, once again, Ventus, Mizuharu, we want to thank you for joining us and talking about Wings of the Goddess NMs today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
And that'll do it for Limit Break Radio.
he needed to give a shout out too.
Slenderman needed a shout out. He had to say goodbye. That'll do it. That'll do it for Limit Break Radio for this episode. I'm Aniro. Keep listening.
And I'm Kalo. That's all you get this time.
And I'm Vicky, keeping Dragoon still LOL free.
And I'm Sale, always dropping in and coming back when you least expect.
Yes, thank you, Sale, for joining us and hanging out for this episode. Juxta, you
and know. I am Juxta, loud and obnoxious comment.
Aww, Juxta.
The guests go before the intern. Hollow. You make a poor intern.
The wind says bye because Ventus is going to kill more crawlers.
Woo!
Yay.
I'm on my way to level yet another LOL job. First, it has to be Blue Mage, but I will be back on Dragoon soon after I finish that freaking trial.
Right on. Mizu, again, thanks for joining us. Ventus, too. Ellison, thank you for joining us, hanging out for this episode.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Give an outro.
I'm Ellison, and Don't stress out, Vanadiel.
Oh!
I'm totally taking that from you this time.
What a gank!
I got a better one.
Fine.
And this is Juxta, twittering it from the back. No, twittering it from the back. Twittering!
God damn it!
Fail not.
Final Fantasy, Tetramaster, and Vanadiel are registered trademarks of Square Enix. Square Enix and Play Online are trademarks of Square Enix. Limit Break Radio and its hosts are solely responsible for its content. The Limit Break Radio Network is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike United States license. For more information on Creative Commons licenses, visit creativecommons.org.
This is a very special public service announcement from your friends at Voices of Vanadiel.
No, it's not.
It is. You don't know.
No, it's not.
It is because I say it is. Hi there, everyone. It's Scalia here from Voices of Vanadiel, Vanadiel's only live call-in podcast. If you're a fan of the show, and let's face it, if you're watching this, you either are or you're not really smart
Wait,
enough
you're
to be
watching
using
this
your computer.
To it?
Well, you know what? When I wrote the script, it was supposed to be a video, and someone didn't like that idea, so...
I didn't like that idea. I thought it was a terrible idea.
Well, fine. So, yes, if you're listening to this, and, well, let's face it, if you are listening to this, you're either not smart enough to be using your computer, or you are a fan of the show, so we're glad to have you here, glad to be back on the airwaves. In the time that we've been down, we've been receiving a bunch of questions, ranging in politeness from very polite to very, very mean. Very mean.
I haven't been any. You been getting them all?
Yeah, I guess I have been, because everyone bitches at me when things go wrong. Hey, yeah. Look, something for me to go dun-dun. Anyway, fortunately here at Voices of Vanadiel, we've been hearing your complaints and questions, and we've put together this short video to help explain them. Zero, first question, please.
The first question is... Where the hell is the new content, ask?
Well, in short, life is hard. Zero and I have both suffered a series of time sealers, including work, school, family problems, very much so on that last one. But fortunately, all three of them are loosening their stranglehold on us, and we are happy to be back. Next question.
Where the hell is the content we already recorded?
Same answer. Just apply it to the fact that we haven't had any time to edit either. Due to this, we've put production of new episodes on hold until we get what we have out. And fortunately, this should be happening very soon. We're planning on releasing episode 4 early next week, probably. And then we'll record 3.5 and 4.5 before moving on to episode 5 in the near future. Next question.
Are you going to give us anything for your slovenly performance in releasing episodes?
I'll assume that word was slovenly. Yes. Our next 2.5 episodes, for the first time ever, are going to be streamed live for everyone to hear, because everyone wants to hear our bloopers, and I'm sure we're going to have plenty of them. And there's going to be some more things that we're going to try and do to make amends for it, but we're not exactly sure what...
YouTube button. Excuse me.
Yes, there is a YouTube button. There might be stuff coming related to that. Just keep your eyes on the website. Next question.
Why doesn't Zaze talk more often?
Alright, Zaze is a mythological character that we created so we could have someone to defer blame towards when something goes wrong. Astute observers of our show will notice that his voice is a perfect 50-50 hybrid of mine and Zaru's. Next question.
Is there any truth to that statement?
Are there any brains in your head? Next question.
I heard you died.
That's not a question. Try again.
Are you a zombie?
That's an awful question. Try again.
Do you have a desire to feast on frontal craniums?
Next question, please.
Is there any truth to the rumor of Voices of Vanadiel merchandise?
Yes and no. While nothing is currently set in stone, we are looking for some sort of merchandise we could sell without SE suing us into the ground. yeah, we have a lot to clear first. We are taking suggestions. If anyone has an idea, just, yeah, keep your eye out on the website for that.
Incidentally, we need artists.
Yes, we do need artists. If you feel like doing that, feel free to let us know. Send us an email. We do have emails now, Escalia@voicesofvanadiel.com, Zeromeru@voicesofvanadiel.com. Next question.
That's kind of an invalid question, isn't it?
What?
The next one. Why isn't the website working? It's working damn well now, thank you very much.
Well, it wasn't working. For those of you who haven't noticed, the website has been down a lot lately. It's because it's been being improved. For a senior project, or one of his projects in school, Zero was assigned to take a currently existing website and figure out how to make it better. So we figured what better time, than to take our website to the next level. New features on our website will be including, or already are including, faster streaming, video capabilities, forums. Eventually we're going to have forums of our own, and personal emails, as I just said. Next question.
No, not the next question. I'll talk about that some more.
All right, fine. You can talk about that some more.
If you haven't noticed, Voices of Anadiel has gone a severe update in both content and quality. The personal emails are live, as Gardy went over. The forums are my next project. They will be up over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be migrating from the OBR forums to those. So that's where you're going to go to sign for episodes, talk about the shows a little bit, etc., etc. And we have a YouTube channel that has nothing on it, so...
But it might in the future.
It might.
Hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
We don't know. It could be. Zaze, you're actually here today. You want to... No, okay, fine. All right, then. Next question. Are you going to be at conventions?
Yes! Well, sort of. I'm going to be attending Colossal Con coming up at the Kalahari Water Resort in Sandusky, Ohio. If you're going to be in the area, stop in and say hi. Look for the guy who's wearing the Dragoon Relic Armor costume, because ideally it will be me. If we get it finished. It's almost done. It's looking pretty awesome. Next question.
It does look pretty awesome from what I saw.
Oh,
holy
my
shit.
God, it does.
All right. Are these lapses going to become a regular thing?
No one can predict the future. While we certainly don't plan on having it happen again, and we're going to do our best to make sure it doesn't, life is tough and things can happen. All we can promise is that we have the greatest appreciation for our fan base, and we're going to try and do our best to serve you better in the future. Amen.
We'll try not to suck as much.
Yes.
That's pretty much all I can promise.
We appreciate
you
all the support that we've been getting from everybody, and yeah, we're not planning on having it happen again. Look for episode recordings to resume as
eventually.
Early as the end of the month, it could be. It's early May. We're almost ready to go again. It could be as early as the end of the month.
Yeah,
Maybe the first week of next month.
We might be totally caught up by then. Yeah, get excited.
So, we hope you've enjoyed the first PSA, our first public service announcement. If you have any other questions, send them in. Maybe they'll make it onto a PSA in the near future. Until next time, this is Escalia.
And I'm Zeromeru.
Take it easy, guys.